When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Carrick with ACG, and I'm here with Reg, Johnny, Silver, and Abzi. And we're doing the Best Gaming Podcast, international podcast number 279, I believe, 289. Up there, almost at our 300th podcast. We'll have to do some kind of crazy, like some kind of anniversary podcast for 300. 300 is long for anything. Like, it's a lot if you're 300 pounds.
Like the movie.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we should do, where we'll all show up. I'll get us all to show up, and I'll have us CGI'd.
Just like Leonidas?
All right. Yeah.
Do we get a CGI six-pack? Or
because I don't know if any of us are spouting like a six-pack right now. Like,
Not right now. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah. Give it a couple weeks.
So thank you, everybody, for joining us. I absolutely appreciate it. I am going to talk about a couple things. I almost took an Ambien. I almost took the wrong pill. That would have been a unique podcast.
Yeah.
So
maybe for number 300.
Oh, man. Trying to stay up on one and what happens afterwards? No way. That would be such a disaster. So we have a bunch of stuff to discuss. We're going to talk about GT. We're going to talk about Tunic. We're going to talk about Hogwarts. Hogwarts Legacy. Sounds like a really bad venereal disease.
Hogwarts.
We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. But the first thing I want to talk about right now, I'm going to get this out of the way, and then we'll talk about what we've been playing. Yeah, we'll do it that way. So I want to get something out of the way, and the main thing is GT7. So as you guys know, I did a GT7, basically a review in progress. There were a couple reasons why. Number one, no one had the time to really review it, which surprised me when I saw a bunch of reviews. But regardless, I want to see where the cafe system was going, if there was going to be more patched in. There were the microtransactions that were there, and of course, it's an online game. So you're never 100% certain exactly how that's going to turn out. I actually had no real issues in the review time frame with being online at all, which is good. But I am going to start, going to basically bring up a couple things when it comes to GT7. I know that sometimes I'll get people who, you know, they're like, oh, he's going hard on this, he must hate it, blah, blah, blah. The first thing I want to be clear on is I actually like GT7, but my job really isn't to make you feel good. So, like, if somebody gives me a hug, but they always beat me, I'm not going to instantly trust them. And GT7 has a bunch of issues. Whether you like it or not, if you pretend that these issues don't exist, gaming's not going to get better. And there are some very specific issues that GT7 has some problems with. And so the first one I want to talk about is we get the game, it comes out, and there's an issue almost immediately with it not coming up right, for some people, where they were having issues with the server, that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about the servers being down because they fucked up their own patch. I'm talking about actually at the starting, just a lot of people coming in. It's a $70 game. There were some issues with microtransactions. Microtransactions are garbage for a couple reasons. I want to make sure this is clear. I don't really have an issue with microtransactions. In some ways, it just depends on how they're done and what the game's like. We've talked about this with Ark. We've talked about it with other games. So with GT7, and I'm talking in particular to anybody here who's thinking about getting GT7 or wants to know my thoughts on it. One of the reasons why I think it's completely garbage, and this is backed up by fact, it's backed up by statistics, and it's backed up by psychology. So if you're in the chat or you're watching this video later in the comments and you say anything that goes against this, it's like arguing against, you know, if the world is flat. You are factually wrong. So the first thing we want to talk about is the psychology of the microtransactions, is in particular the prices. So a lot of people talk about FOMO. Oh, I want this thing, I want that thing. So you get a lot of people saying, hey, guess what? You can still grind for all these things. Well, it was off for 30 hours, so you can't grind during those off 30 hours. But ignoring that for a second, looking at the prices of the microtransactions, there's a very definitive bounce between 750,000 and 2 million credits in their purchase rates. This is it's psychologically backed up, or it's backed up by the psychology of people basically making the next step up to get, they figure, I'll get more. And so what you do is you do a slightly lower payout and then that higher payout. This is something that if you don't believe me, because for whatever reason, go check GDC videos on it from MMO companies. You'll hear the main head of EA at one particular time talked about this. These are very real things. They're backed up by psychology. They're backed up by the statistics showing that doing this kind of stuff does very much cause a person to make that one step up. In the past, I think a lot of us played games where the developers identified with, I want them to play just one more game. We heard that all the time. Just one more game. It's 3 a.m. Just one more game. Now it's like just one more microtransaction, just one more coin, just one more diamond in our game. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because those are fucked up. Those are known to be fucked up, and they are identical to any MMO. So if you've ever bitched about an MMO and you're not bitching about GTA, that's on you. You are factually incorrect. But talking about more of the nebulous stuff, I want to talk about their patch today. So they had a patch. They fucked up their own patch. They ended up having a 1.7 patch. That caused some issues. So they pulled it down, and they sort of boiled everything into a 1.8 patch to fix it. Now, one of the things they said in the initial bit about this was that they weren't aware that some game systems weren't starting the game when they made the 1.7 patch, because more people are playing it than their small test group. That's completely normal, and that does happen. I hold nothing against them on that. However, during the same introduction to sort of a more openness from this company, they did say some stuff that I think right now I really want to point out, that anybody in PR, anybody who has to do public speaking, anybody who runs a business, sort of a customer-faced business, should have pulled whoever wrote that. I think it was the main guy who runs the company. Should have pulled whoever wrote that and told them, you can't write this, because it is a terrible, terrible PR statement. It goes on to basically state that they didn't know that this was a thing, so they decided to pull everything down, sort of look at it, look at every little idiosyncrasy. But at the same time, they're trying to say that they didn't realize that the prices of the cars were weird. So
right.
Then they go to try to explain the prices of the car, and it's three paragraphs of nothing. It's like, I want you guys to feel like you don't have to repetitively play the same thing over and over. Well, guess what? It's a racing game. Quite literally, the mechanic of a racing game that isn't Forza is repetitive. That's when anybody who writes PR would have looked at that and said, whoa, that you can't say that, because anybody who's intelligent will pick that apart. But it got worse, where then he starts saying that, what we want is we want people to be able to play with a bunch of cars in a particular way, but we don't want too many credits getting out in these races. So they lowered, in some patches, they've lowered the output of particular races because they want the cars to be real car prices in real life. Meaning, I'm assuming, Corvette will cost what a Corvette costs. Here's the problem. And here's the negative of it. And it's something you should always look at whenever you read these kind of things. They could have raised the price on the other races, and they didn't. And one of the reasons why is because when you look at that, the raising of the other races so that they are all a little bit more would not have broke the economy, but it would have broken the desire and the feedback of that microtransaction. It would have broke that, which is not what they want to do. They want that microtransaction there. So they have to basically lower what people were getting extra credits for instead of raising the credits to a point to where people felt that they were in some way basically rewarded. An additional problem with this, and I don't know, I've never seen somebody write this, and it's something you should never, ever write in a PR statement. He goes on to say, I wish I could tell you more, but a secret thing is happening at some secret point in the future to make this better. That is, When you buy a product, you are investing in getting data about the product. So that says one of two things. And there's only two ways around this. And this is why I'm telling you right now, if you're defending GT, you're defending it to the wrong people. There's no reason to defend GT. If you like GT, that's one thing. This is not defensible. And that is where you look at this. And the only thing that we can get when we come out of this is that they want the microtransactions to be there. They want the races to give you less money. And overall, what they've got is a service game where when you buy the copy, it's not even the full game on the disc. And this is something else I want to point out to people. Sony came after Microsoft. When Microsoft released the Xbox One, Microsoft said, our DRM, is going to be this online thing. You're going to be able to sell games. You're going to be able to trade games. You're going to be able to move games around. You're going to be able to do this and that. And everybody decried all this. They were like, how dare we? One of the things I stated in the podcast was, by the way, Microsoft just is forward thinking. They're seeing where the economy is going. So they'll reverse it, but everybody else will do it. And it will happen. And people are like, no, it's not going to happen for sure. Sony, one of the companies that came after Microsoft, by the way, very blatantly, is one of the companies doing it with this developer. I'm sorry, but like you can't defend that. You can't. The game is not on the disc. The full game is not on the disc. It is a service game now. And with service games, we have other issues, which is where the patches and problems with, you know, getting online, all these kind of things occur. I do also want to say that if you're getting mad at people because somebody feels like they don't want to grind, remember that for 30 plus hours, they couldn't grind. And because the game wasn't working. So there's an issue in one of those places. The game either needs to work or it needs to have an offline component so that those people who were affected with this bullshit thing where some systems weren't starting the game, only they would be affected. Instead, we said, no, we're going to make sure everybody's affected by it. And what happens is you have a position where the gamer who may want to grind can't actually literally grind. They cannot get in the game to do so. And their patch that they broke, instead of let somebody do an offline career mode, something like that, they said, no, it's going to all be connected online. It's going to all require these online components. And that's why the review is in progress, because, guys, it sounds like circular logic, but if I do a review in progress, it's because I need to progress in the game to finish the review. If the game is not progressing or allowing me to progress, then how do I do a review? It still has to stay as a review in progress because I'm not moving forward. And that's why you haven't seen a final word on this, because I haven't been able to play it. When I did play it and I was focusing on microtransactions, that was fine. Then we started getting all the disconnections and now we're getting 30 hours. It just finally came up a little bit ago and people are like, okay, awesome. It came up. Everything's fixed. Negative. If a game is down for 30 hours, at the very minimum, wait double that if it's up. So people should be playing it for 60 hours of being up before I think you can say, okay, we're somewhat stable now. But right now you have a lot of people who are jumping in there saying, oh, it's fixed. It's all this kind of stuff is fixed. It absolutely is not. And your job, guys, is not to defend. And I know I lose subscribers for this all the time. I don't really care about that. My job's not really to make you guys feel happy about being abused. Like, I'm not going to do that. I will tell you what statistically is there. And I have had people who are very good at math look at the numbers on this kind of stuff and then the psychology of the microtransactions. If you're defending it, that's on you. And that is you being wrong, not somewhat being right, not having an opinion. Opinions can be wrong. And if you are defending, like, let's say those microtransactions at those prices and the way they've been used and done, you are, and your opinion is wrong when it comes to that part of the game. It does not mean that you're wrong in liking it. So I just want to make sure that's clear, because I think a lot of people get caught up. I did a tweet yesterday about Hogwarts and people exploded. There were like Hogwarts fans coming out of the woodwork saying it's better than RDR2. This is going to be the greatest game. Elden Ring has been destroyed. It cannot win Game of the Year because of Hogwarts. And I'm like, man, guys, we need to take a step back. Like, we need just a step back away from the cliff. So it's a long discussion, but I just wanted to point it out that, you know, you guys should not be defending those kind of people. Let me ask you this.
On the online component, is there a good explanation as to why that's required?
It's not even in the game, dude. The game isn't even full on the disc, so no.
Because for PC, you maybe understand that you don't want people to like use mods to, you know, hack the money system, whatever, right?
Right.
But on a closed system like PlayStation, surely you can put in an offline mode at least or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is just the way it is, but you see a lot of people who, your job isn't to defend the game. It doesn't make any sense to defend the game.
And, you know, I think a lot of people in that ecosystem or whatever the fuck you want to call it, want to defend every single game in that ecosystem, right? And they can't be kind of objective. They can't like pull themselves out and be like, oh, Sony can have a good game and a bad game, or
it
like
happened with Days Gone, practices.
Yeah, but like, you know, people just have a stick so far up their own ass that they just don't, you know, but it like feeds into it. You know what I mean? Like people like that kind of feed into them thinking it's okay to do stuff like that, because they know that it'll have people no matter what, just buying into it. Right?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to read the super chats and then you guys can go with the with your comments or whatever. Just let me read this, Silver, and then I'll get to you. Trimian Perryman says, $4.99, stay to play somehow bored and excited me at the same time. I actually pretty much figure, I pretty much think I know exactly what you're talking about. And then Lord Metroid said, I love Mad Max from Avalanche. Hogwarts Legacy is fire for $2 super chat. Thank you very much. All right, go ahead, Silver.
Just that, it, I mean, a testament to how... to the fact that, that these sort of microtransaction strategies work is the fact that, like, one of the most pervasive ones is used outside of like microtransactions and is actually illegal in a lot of countries, which is the sale without a sale, which is you give like buy like 6,000 credits, get 1,000 credits free. It looks like a sale, but yeah, it's not actually a sale because that sale never goes away. It's always at that price point. You always get those 1,000 free credits with buying the 6,000 credits for sale. So it's actually buying 7,000 credits for that. But when you phrase it in that way, you entice people further to go in and get that. And it's like getting like going to the store and seeing the buy two get one free sale. That isn't necessarily a sale if that never goes away. If that is actually just the standard purchasing price for that product, but it's just framed as being a sale because when you frame it as being a sale, you entice people to get it more.
They do that all the time, you know, buy this like thing and you're gonna get this free thing with that, but it's just you're buying both of the things, right?
So what have you guys been playing? Anyway, that was my spiel about the review in progress for GT. So go ahead, Abzi, what have you been playing?
I'm still on Elden Ring, like second playthrough. I also played a little bit of Core Keeper. It's like this new kind of early access, you know, one of those Minecraft games, top down, kind of looks like Stardew Valley, but it's a little bit unique in its own way, but it's kind of more of the same stuff. Just got it to play with a friend. And other than that, just Elden Ring.
Just grinding away on Elden Ring. What about you, Reg?
Well, talking about
grinding away on Lost Ark.
300 hours now. Last week it was 250, so another 50 hours. I reached tier 3 finally with my main character.
I'm very happy
Has
for you.
Has everything changed for you? Is it
I never expected it to. the grind is only getting worse from here. And apart from that, I've been playing bits and pieces of other games, mostly to try out the Steam Deck. So I've been launching a lot of games on there, see how they run, see how I configure it. I like it, apart from the fan noise. That's like my worst.
Pretty loud, isn't it?
It is pretty loud. And it's also at a very unpleasant frequency.
Yeah, yeah. My wife can pick up that one.
Good speakers?
It does, but you're not understanding. Yeah. The fan's loud.
Oh, the fan's loud.
The cooling fan.
It's a loud. I thought you meant
it's
speakers.
It's basically always on. Like, it's not super loud in that sense, but it has a... It's like around 8 kHz
of
noise.
The frequency is bad.
It has. The frequency is pretty
how
bad.
How loud is like it from a 1 to a PS4? How loud is it?
Ooh, I think it's close to a PS4, but a PS4 is farther away. So
yeah, I think from the pure volume, it's maybe a third of a PS4.
Oh, but true, PS4 is far.
The frequency it outputs is more annoying.
And you don't hold your PS4 in your hand, you know, like that.
So it's like a coil whine kind of thing, where
the frequency and the level of annoyance is maybe similar, but
But the thing is the fan.
It's constant. Right. Yeah.
What about you? So what do you think overall? Your arc is gonna do one more week? Are you gonna? I mean, have you felt at all like pulled away from it?
Not really. I mean, I have already created 5 other characters that I'm leveling up. So
have you found the arc?
I've not found the last arc yet.
Damn.
Well, there are several, right?
It's called really fucking last arc.
But I'm like 90% through the tutorial quests now. So there you go.
All right, excellent. What about you, Silver?
Mainly Elden Ring, which I finished this week, or I beat it anyway. toward the end, like there's one part of that game I haven't heard people talk about that really sort of started annoying me, which is large enemies are not really designed for that open world. They're not designed like for different elevations. So you'll frequently get their models are not capable of handling different elevations in terrain. So if like you have a cliff here and a ground here.
Oh, you got a dragon stuck on a hill too?
No, not just stuck on a hill. Like I've had dragons fly up and collide with some sort of collision object in the sky, and then they're just walking around on the sky. Like there's a floor up there. And then all of a sudden they have like a Wile E. Coyote moment and they just drop down because they realize, oh, gravity is a thing. Like you also have like giants or whatever, where they have like 1 foot on elevated terrain and the other is in the sky because they can't put the other foot down on the ground. They can only stay level with the other foot. So there's a lot of like jankiness to that. And that gets sort of exacerbated by the fact that these large enemies also clip into terrain very, very frequently. So like there's a late game fight with a dragon that's on this like sloped, like curved slope. And because of the dragon can only stay level with its own feet, like it doesn't actually go like along with the slope. It just clips into the slope. And so a good portion of its body, you're actually not able to hit. It's actually like, it gets like a free shield from the terrain where you can't hit it because you're like, if you're a melee character or a magic character, like it'll just bounce off the terrain and not hit the part of its body that clips into the terrain. And like I started encountering that a lot in the game, particularly with the larger enemies. And it really, really sort of started to sort of pull me out of the immersion in the game and hurt my enjoyment of it. That being said, I still love the game. I still think it's a great game. But I think there are definitely some janky things to it that I don't really hear people talk about. And I think people would be a lot harsher with if it came from other developers.
I literally never saw any of what you're talking about.
Fair enough.
But I mean, with GT, that's I also didn't bugs, have as many right? offline
but I mean,
issues.
I mean, it's not just bug. I mean, they're also like, if you're like standing on top of like a hill and you have like one of the most common boss enemy type, mini boss type enemies in the game is like the putrid tree spirits, which are these like huge kind of snake-like creatures that sort of slither around and riot and just thrash all over the place. So I had a point where I was standing on top of like a ridge and it was down below me and it basically put its head into the ridge and then all the way up and it, like the tip of its nose then pointed out of the ground and hit me.
Oh God, rage-inducing thing, yeah.
What about you, Johnny?
Yeah, so on my side, I finished my playthrough of Elden Ring at about 90 hours. I did a little bit of a new character, but I've been focusing mostly on Horizon, Forbidden West now, and a little bit of League of Legends sprinkled in there.
ARAMs or just the actual ranked?
Okay. I'm a serious... What do you take me for?
I only play my ARAMs. Time with ARAMs. Hey man, ARAMs are the ranked. Real game, all right? ARAMs only are the ranked. Real... All right. I see how it is.
That it?
Yeah.
Alrighty. Jayhawks X, $5 super chat. Thanks, Carrick, and to everyone else on the podcast for everything you do. Continuing to show your love for gaming. Enjoy your weekends. All the best. $5 from Stupor Smoothie. The insidious part is being missed. The currency severely drops after the menus. It's a gotcha game tactic. I think you mean after the cafes, which yes, it does. Seem to adjust there. I think that's what it means. Strictly Gaming... $20 super chat. I'm the type that don't have issues with MTX in games, but I should be able to earn everything in game, and it must be fair. I do think GT7 can do a little better with the in-game economy. That's just me. TGIF. Sky Days is a new member. What's up, Sky Days?
Oh, what's up, dude?
Always good to see you.
He's a good guy.
I have been playing a shit ton of Bloodlines Dynasties. Whoops.
Destinies in your mind.
Yeah. Bloodline Dynasties is awesome. Like I had experience with two, like sort of, they call them 4X, but that's such a wrong term now because there's more X's. Like it's just like 18X now. There's so much going on in these, but this game is pulled back. So you don't even raise your own armies. What you do is when you go to war, you say, do you want to go instantly, which goes to all of the planets around that planet and grabs your helpers and whatever they have, or you can slowly build up. and say, I want to hide that I'm attacking, but I want to sort of build up on the enemy's flanks. And your chance of being discovered goes higher and higher each turn. It's very cool. And then you have only three steps when you battle, and you have these like abilities every lord has, like retreat, or one's called decapitate, which means you go after the leader of a space armada. But it's all about the dynasty. So it's a mini version of the other game, Crusader Kings. It's like a lighter version of that, but you're having kids, you're selling kids off, you're letting, it's been a blast, and it's very colorful. Like, it's almost a little too color. It looks, I don't know how to describe it. It's not blocky, but it's like big, bold colors, but it's been a blast to play. And then I was like, Distant Stars 2 came out. And that's exactly the opposite. It's those type of games where you basically say, hey, could you possibly think of maybe doing this? And then they maybe possibly think of doing it. And so you can't even tell if they're really doing it. You're really hands off. So I like trying to even find a dude and say, go here, do this, is difficult. And it's more of a, I'm going to make some decisions and zoom out and watch my Star League and see how they do. I really am not liking that as much as the first one. I really do think that Bloodlines Dynasty is fantastic. It's like $19. I think that's like 10 times better. But it's not as popular of a game. But I've been into Star, like Galactic Civilizations. I got to play that. In fact, we'll just get through that real quick. Galactic Civilizations is its fourth one. They had a couple early access alphas kind of thing, and you can buy, they were nice enough to give me sort of like a beta. And what they said was, here's us in the middle of a massive intergalactic war. So they basically write down everything. They're like, this game save is going to put you in the middle of a war. What can the mid game of Galactic Civilizations look like? And then the person wrote like a fake log of what they had done. Like, you know, I've been battling the Star Armada this long. I've been doing this for this long. And then you jump in. And I got to say, man, I'm enjoying the hell out of it right now. Like, absolutely. I love the look of that game. I think in the alpha it had some bugs that were popping up that, you know, it's an alpha. But here in this more advanced beta I've got to check out, I'm a huge, huge Galactic Civ fan. Like, always have been. The ability to make your ships and do sort of what you want. I will say there's a lot going on, though. It reminds me of, did you guys ever do Endless Space? Oh. No, see, Stellaris I could track. Endless Space 2, in particular, is just shit's happening. And you're like, oh my god, there's an icon for everything. This one's a step back from that, but still pretty icon.
Is it pause play as well, or is it like a
turn-based? It's turn-based. Okay. You can sort of sit back and go, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to, you know, build this ship. But so far, I'm digging it. I think it's a good step above, you know.
And it's on Game Pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice.
Wait a minute. No. On PC Game Pass? No, it's not. No, it's not. Mm-mm. This one is not.
Galactic Civilization 3? Where have I seen
four.
It?
Four. This is four. Pass.
Four.
Okay. Three is on Game Pass.
This is four talking about. Yeah, early access on Steam, and then this was like a, I guess you'd call it like an advanced beta. So, but that's what I've been playing. I don't know why. I think I just sort of jumped into the desire to do something a little bit different than what I've been playing, which is all these action games. Reading Super Chats. Thank you guys for the Super Chats. Brandon says, your favorite Discord photographer here. Oh, Spickles? March 25th. Which game are you most excited for? Tiny Tina, Ghostwire, or Kirby? Any answers to that?
Maybe Kirby.
Probably Tiny Tina. Probably Tiny Tina or the other one. What's it?
Ghostwire.
The other one.
Yeah. No, Kirby. I've never played a Kirby game, so I don't have that same kind of excitement. But I don't know. Could be fun, right? I love platformers. So,
what about you, Johnny?
I'm honestly not that excited about any of those, because watching your coverage of Cyber Tokyo, what is it?
Ghostwire Tokyo.
Cyberpunk 2077.
Cyberpunk 2077 Ghostwire
Edition.
Some
combination
of
the gameplay just doesn't seem that interesting to me. That was my issue, because looking at that, you described it as a mix between a walking simulator and other things, and I think that was my issue with it.
Yeah.
Because I did want like
more
maybe
action.
A bit more like arcane, an arcane game, you know, with like a deeper, whether it's stealth or other systems.
Yeah.
So not super excited about that, but Tina could be cool. I love Borderlands. It's now a bit kind of burnt out on me. I felt like, you know, you can only hear the butt jokes so many times before they get really, really stale. So I don't know if they're going to do enough different on that one, but that would be the one from the bunch.
All right, Reg?
Realistically, none of them. If I had to choose one, it would be Kirby.
Is this Kirby? What is this? 2D, 3D?
It's a 3D one.
A 3D platformer.
Cool, yeah. Cool, cool.
Okay, what do you do in a Kirby game?
You eat people you and become them.
Platforming, yeah. I think. Right?
Like Mario, so...
You suck people, and then you become those...
Don't
that thing.
Frame it like that.
You blow,
that's not what's happening.
You blow in... You blow
you inhale
people.
Them whole. Yeah.
You inhale, you eat them all. You eat them. No? Is that even worse?
Yeah, you do. You do eat
you
them.
Suck them into you, and then you become them. Yeah.
Yep.
And then you have like a...
You're
fixing it.
Yeah.
It's very similar to the like capping mechanic from Super Mario Odyssey. If you ever played Mario Odyssey,
right? Yeah,
where you put the cap, where Mario like put the cap on to mimic or imitate other or become other like enemy types and stuff. It's very similar to that mechanic.
William Nossman, $10 super chat, money for some sick Outrider skins. Enjoy. Is Outrider even still a thing? Outrider,
logged
like
Outriders.
Yeah, I wonder how many people are playing Outriders right now.
Oh my God, I forgot
look?
About that game.
You should look, Reg. Because, dude, it's got to be...
Three
did
people?
You guys also see that Dungeon & Dragons Dark Alliance released a big expansion and they have like 45 people playing? I'm all...
Oh,
dude, that must feel...
I mean, that's...
Man,
I
that's
got to
be rough
that.
As
well,
a developer.
Steam, it has 613 people.
For which game?
Outriders.
That's crazy.
Ouch.
That's good for them.
It's hot. Well,
already
well,
more than...
Are we good? Really?
600 people. Hey man, that's like a whole like a bar.
Well, it's probably more than Battlefield, right?
Like a
full
big
of people.
One. Yeah.
I don't know what to, I don't know what to say.
I'm being sarcastic.
Being facetious.
No.
I'm surprised people are playing that. I mean,
especially now, right? What were you gonna say,
now,
Reg?
Like,
did you find
it? I was
it?
Just joking that it's more than Battlefield, but it isn't. Battlefield for 2042 has 2,300 people.
Damn.
Hey, it's a ballpark. It's close.
And then the Ghostwire Tokyo review is coming next week, folks. I see people
nice.
Talking about that. Yeah, Ghostwire Tokyo is one of those games that's trying to do a lot of things, and so that's pretty tough to pull off.
I mean, I like the setting,
yeah,
and sort of
yep.
like just walking around the city and stuff, but the gameplay doesn't look enticing.
Like, I don't know, man. I thought that, but then I looked at the hand like stuff that goes like this, and then you like. I don't know, it looks cool to me.
That part is awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
Magic user gang signs like Crips and Bloods. You
yeah,
know,
like,
he's like, red robes,
yeah.
bitch. Woo! Like that,
signs,
that's
you know?
Awesome. Yeah, but I'll just say that's awesome. Moving on from there. let's do we get no more super chats. That's where we are. People are saying that somebody says I'm still playing Outriders. Here Outriders story was insufferable.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that game.
What were you going to say, Johnny? I thought you were going to say something.
No, I'm just concurring.
Oh, gotcha.
I mean, the
okay.
story. Yeah.
Yeah, that what story? Like, it's a little bit like GT7. It's like
well,
with
the shaky,
actually,
the shaky camera.
Yeah.
Oh.
They actually tried, which I appreciated, but yeah, it was.
That's your best.
But I just remember like a cutscene to jump on something and then a cutscene to open a door and then a cutscene to go
oh,
through
I forgot
door.
That.
God,
I forgot. I
fade to black,
cam.
Fade back.
Yes. I remember the shaky cam, but that's legit. First time I've rethought about that weirdness of unlocking the door and then locking it back up. People
and
remember
jump,
here,
yeah,
I do want to just
small.
Say you can also join ACG Vids on Reddit. We have our own Reddit. If you want to talk about stuff, talk about the podcast. There's a podcast thread up right there. We'll try to read if there's any questions. Ghost Riders getting an expansion? Or is Ghost Riders done? Do we know?
Ghost Rider. Like,
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Nicolas Cage.
No. What's Outriders? Fuck.
Outriders.
Yeah, that's a merger.
Ghost Riders.
The moment I said it, nobody said anything. I'm like, it's going to be wrong.
I thought, like, Nick Cage with hair plugs? Is that what we're talking
about? Dude, did you see his new movie has got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes?
Bro.
I can't wait to watch that. The insufferable weight of talent or whatever, where it's Nick Cage in as Nick Cage in the, but people are just saying it's amazing.
Have you guys seen Pig? I want to watch Pig.
No, I haven't yet. But I mean, dude, that's the thing. He just shows up and
sometimes it's a good movie. Yeah, sometimes it's utter bullshit.
Yeah, so. But you know, how many times, I mean, other than like Cruise or a couple other actors, most actors don't deliver every time anyway. So it's like, he just does more, you know?
Ghost Runner, the other cyberpunk game, is getting an expansion though. I think right around now or like these months here, where that actually casts you as an agent of the sort of authoritarian authority, in the sort of cyberpunk universe that it uses.
I read that it was a prequel.
I'm not sure where it is chronologically, but yeah, and you get a different superpower, so you get like a super jump instead.
What are you guys in the chat? What are you excited for? What have you been playing?
I forgot also to ask. Towards the original question, it is supposedly getting a DLC this year, the Outriders.
Must be weird to release a
sometime this year called World Slayer, but no further really details on anything.
That game is, man, what a miss. What a miss. It's just sailed off into the sunset. Mm-hmm. I mean, apparently some people are playing it, but I think those people are probably bots, Russian bots, Russian, like, working for Fuzzy Bear or what, Fozzie Bear. I do want to talk about something about tech for a second. Did you guys see this stuff? I'm sure Reg did because we were randomly, like, talking about it in different spaces, but FSR 2.0 is coming out.
Then
their super resolution, which is their non-hardware specific one, is coming out, and they're saying that it's going to be as good, if not better than natural, which admittedly I rolled my eyes, but you know, DLS or DLSS, whatever, has looked pretty phenomenal in some games. So, but yeah, that'll be cool to see.
DLSS is amazing. I love that fucking. Yeah.
Yeah. And
I was explaining DLSS to my girlfriend, like, so excited and shit. I was like, yo, this deep learning. And it's like,
but you AI. Want it to work on everything, which it doesn't.
Yeah, of course.
And that's the one big positive, I think. I mean, it's different, obviously, because one's using, you know, the cores and everything, but still, AMD's pushing it, Intel's got their own, Microsoft still has MLAA of some kind, which is already, MLAA is already something else, which is really weird, but Microsoft has their own kind. I love the idea.
Eventually, DLSS, like the deep learning, should have enough information at some point that it should work with anything instantly.
Well, I mean, if for a couple of months now, you don't have to train it anymore and can just drop it into the engine as a developer.
Well, yeah, you can probably hack it into games as well, right?
I don't know if you can hack it into games, but for most games, you can hack version 2 over the top of version 1. So if a game's got version 1, there's an injector and you can actually like inject it in number 2 into the place of that, which is pretty cool. But, I mean, yeah, man, it's exciting stuff. It's exciting to see AMD's pushing that kind of stuff. I love the idea. Anything that gives me free frames in VR is a huge plus. I agree. That's very cool to see. So, but it's cool. I mean, it'd be exciting. Who knows? Maybe it'll turn out to be dump. I don't like FSR, though. Not right now. Man, it has not really worked for me in any...
It's very mixed for me. Like on the Steam Deck, naturally, because of the limited hardware, I was trying it a lot.
Right.
And in Horizon, for example, that game has it built in.
Mm-hmm.
And I used the built-in mode and I thought it looked terrible compared to what the Steam overlay does.
Okay.
So, don't know if it's different versions, if they use it differently. I was kind of happy with the version that Steam OS has built in.
What I didn't like is the Fallout or Far Cry 6. It was terrible in that. There's a lot of Haloing and stuff in a lot of those cases. I'm just happy to see more of these tricks coming about. I love it.
Yeah.
I want to see more. I don't know if you guys saw, but there were some papers released where Mark Cerny from Sony had done a patent, but some investigation into accelerating ray tracing in a better way that supposedly like will look the same, but it can be done in a quarter of the time. And he's figured out
that's just insane to me, yeah. man. I remember ray tracing images that would take like a day to process.
I know.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Remember that shit?
You could look, watch the blocks like being rendered.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Bit by bit. Yeah. It was fucking yeah. nuts. I had to do like a ray tracing project. I had to add like reflection and refraction and stuff. And yeah, I had to wait a full day for it to fully render. It's crazy.
Dude, I used to mess around with a program called Bryce 3D, B-R-Y-C-E. Fucking love that. And you could all you could really do is just make a landscape with some mountains in the background. That was pretty much it. But I would sit and you'd hit render and it'd be like...
But they were pretty mountains. But
they were pretty mountains and they were like neon saturated skies. I just sat for hours making...
Like Bryce and what was the other one? Poser?
Poser for the people. Yeah. yeah. You could put a person in a martial arts stance and stuff. That shit was next level. Now Unreal, that's like free. You know, that's like in there already. That's it, and probably 50, 60 times better. So FSR helped me a lot on CD Projekt or on Cyberpunk 77 when I was still in my 1060. Did it? I forgot.
Nice.
I forgot
if
FSR was even... Did it add interaction?
it's ouch.
That's painful. But yeah, all those were very cool. So let's talk about games. Let's jump into something cool.
Oh, yeah.
Hogwarts?
Hogwarts, maybe?
Hogwarts! So who saw the trailer? Yes, no?
Like a third of it.
Okay, what'd you guys think? I'll go last.
It looked... Oh, sorry. If you can
go for it.
Go ahead. Good, Zor.
It looked a little rough in places. Like, I mean, the main thing that came off rough to me was actually like the voice acting.
I saw you post
that.
About
was just that. If that was just me, or apparently it wasn't. There were other people who also caught the same, but it sounded off. Like, I don't know. It sounded, maybe it was like a mixing issue that it sounded off compared to all the other audio levels or something.
Gotcha. But okay.
There was something in the delivery of it, as well as some of the facial motion capture that just kind of looked off to me. It looked fine. Though as others have said, like, it doesn't appear that there's Quidditch in the game, which is sort of a huge missed opportunity not to have Quidditch in a Harry Potter themed open world game.
Do we know that for sure? Like, it's
just saying it's not in the it wasn't in the trailer.
It was on the trailer.
People sort of expected it.
Certainly. You will, I mean, they also, they neglected to mention that you will be able, as far as I can gather, to choose your own house. Because I did doubt that, because they just showcased a Gryffindor, which I found pretty dull.
Yeah.
Because it's always freaking Gryffindor. Like, I would have liked them to like showcase like a Hufflepuff or something.
Hufflepuff.
A bit more like obscure. But you will be able to pick your own house, which is exciting.
That's what I was wondering. Either that or like, was it like a quiz that puts you in?
But I am really curious how they're going to sort of pull that off in a way that feels satisfying, where it doesn't just feel like with the origins in Cyberpunk 2077, right? Where it doesn't really matter, that they make it in a way where your choice of house will actually matter. I'm curious to see whether they can manage that. Other than that, yeah, it looks in. I mean, it's Hogwarts. I like Harry Potter. I like the mythos. I like the universe. I'm interested in it. And it's going to be like, combat looks okay. It looks a little dull, frankly, I think. But
really,
it reminded me a lot of the Ghostbusters video game.
where
you also sort of pull enemies in the in the air and sort of throw them around and stuff. So it reminded me a lot of that combat system for various reasons. But it looks okay, just a little rough.
What about you, Abzi?
I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't know anything about it going into the trailer. I thought, for some reason, I don't know why, but I thought Hogwarts Legacy was going to be, or was it Hogwarts Legends Legacy? I thought it was going to be like a live service multiplayer game, and I was kind of, you know, cautious about that.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was a. So I was very pleasantly surprised. I thought, technical issues aside, I saw some frame drops and weird stuff. I thought the combat looked really fluid. I want to see it in practice, how like all these spells, kind of from a UX standpoint, how you would switch between them if you mm-hmm. assign each one to a button, if you like have to scroll between them. But from the trailer, it looked very fluid, looked cool. There's rolling, you know, so people are going to call it Dark Souls of Harry Potter, obviously. I thought I really liked the way the world looked. It wasn't very hyper realistic, but it wasn't totally cartoony. It was somewhere in
looked
the
like Fable to me,
like Fable,
like kind, in, a, yeah. in a weird way, you know, caricatures a little bit.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Other than combat, I think I don't know how they're going to handle those secret, you know, dungeons and areas and
I know puzzles. They said there was a lot, or they made it sound like there was a lot.
Yeah, like going and seeing secret stuff in Hogwarts, that is also, you know, I love that type of stuff. I think the house building stuff, I'm not sure. It looked really cool, like harvesting and building, concocting your own like potions and stuff like that. Although I did see while you were planting your stuff, it seemed like it took a long time. There was like a 30-minute timer on a plant or something. But I don't know about that. But overall, and the flying, right? Flying, like, sitting on a griffin and,
yeah.
and sitting on your broom and stuff. I was like, damn, they really went all out there. Like an open world type thing. I don't know how they're going to handle exploration. I don't know if it's going to be a bunch of icons you're going to go to from point to point. I don't know if you're going to have to go and explore and find secret stuff. But from the way they described it, it looked pretty interesting.
All right.
Telekinesis as well looks pretty cool. But yeah.
I'm going to read the super chats and then Johnny and Reg, if he has anything to add, can go. Kel, $5 super chat. Chipping in to make sure silver can continue to afford color. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Akira GH, new member. Thank you very much for becoming a member of the YouTube channel. You guys rock. And remember, ACG vids on Reddit if you want to join our Reddit and not be an ass. All right. Oh, two more. Screwball, $20. Playing Elden Ring and sort of hating it. Most storytelling is pushed through monologues. So lost. Don't know where I am, what I'm doing there, and what my goal is. I dislike the sort of world building and storytelling. Screwball, I get you. Like, I do. Yeah. I got in the review period. I was like, man, some people are going to bounce. They're gonna bounce from this. Not all games have to fit everything.
Right.
But yeah. I totally get it. Wyatt Wendell, $10 super chat, finally made it live. Well, you finally made it for us. It's finally worth doing our podcast because Wyatt's here. Thank you very much, Wyatt, for joining us. So, Johnny or Reg, anything to add about Hogwarts?
Reg, you can go first if you have thoughts.
Yeah. So, I like Epsi, I also liked, I think that's the scenery the most from what I've seen. The combat at first glance reminded me a lot of Forspoken, of what we've seen in the trailers there.
Oh. All right.
Overall, looking like it would play better. I don't know. From what I've seen in trailers, I'm not having high hopes for how Forspoken is being played. That looked pretty decent, if maybe a little bit one note.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of pulling and exploding and pulling and exploding, but maybe they just like showing that off a lot. Yeah, I mean, for everyone who's a fan of the world, I guess it looks like it will be a dream come true.
Johnny?
So I come at it as someone who has seen the movies, but barely tolerated them overall. Didn't read the books,
like that,
right? I did a theater play in high school of Harry Potter. You? Hated it.
Were
hated
you Malfoy?
I was Hagrid. I was always you were kind of a tall kid.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I got it.
Gotcha.
What I would say is, for someone who thinks casting spells from a tiny wand and humping a broom is lame as fuck, the game actually looked kind of cool. So that says something, you know, going into it, I'm kind of excited. What I liked most is that diversity of stuff that they showed. The guys mentioned a few things like building your kind of cottage or whatever the hell that was, and going to classes. I love that kind of shit in an RPG where, you know, it feels like you're getting better at stuff or you're learning or progressing in some kind of system. I like it. The fact that it's sort of open world seems interesting. I don't know how open it will be. It will be perhaps one of those, like, you enter a dungeon and then it's kind of a bit more linear, right? So like classic dungeon style, that's what I would expect. But overall, pretty cool. I would be very interested in playing it. I do want a Quidditch, because as someone who played Final Fantasy X and loved it, Blitzball was a big part of it. You know, I really liked it, and I think having a really cool mini game like that could make the difference.
Well, they did show other mini games, so maybe I have no idea. Maybe they wanted to make it a surprise. I don't know.
Yeah. Yep.
That it?
Yeah.
That it, right? Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm right in the middle. I'm a pretty big Harry Potter fan. But first of all, like, I don't give a fuck about him building a house because Harry Potter didn't build a house. Like, what the fuck's happening? I don't care about them showing me building my whatever, the dorm room out. That just makes no sense to me. That's like an added system. I would rather have seen Quidditch if it's in there, because that is a Harry Potter staple. I don't remember building your house as a Harry Potter movie or book staple. Maybe it was. But there's a lot in that they showed that looked a lot like a mobile game. It was like, you can do this. Here's the timer.
The planting,
for
right?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
And that disturbs me. The also, whatnot, the game had so much micro stutter that, like, I watched it on a full screen. I didn't watch it on my phone, which would have been much easier. But I watched it on a full screen, and when he gets on that fucking broom and starts flying, it's like, and that, I'm sure they'll fix it, by the way. I'm just saying, when you see it on a big screen and you see that, you're like, Elden Ring, oh no. Because that's literally what I thought. The moment it happened, I'm like, oh, please don't. So I'm just going to have to wait. I like the idea.
I've been desensitized, Garrick.
Not me, man. Like that, it was bad. And it, even when he was walking, especially when you like, look at the bridge, it's like full on fucking hard jerks. And it was like, man.
On the bridge, that's when I noticed it the most. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love the idea of walking around going, like, I'm a big magic in real life fan. I always have been. Muggle. Like, I love my D&D games, werewolf or whenever there's a cult, like a cult group inside an occult group, not a cult, but an occult group inside of another group, mysticism within real life. I dig it. So like, I'm very into that. I thought some of the lighting looked amazing, but most of it looked like donkey shit. And that was the one thing I'm worried about, is the faces are horrible, except for the little blowjob giver, the little dude with the teeth, the little troll or whatever. He's like everybody's waist and they talk to him. Did you guys see that guy? He had like weird teeth. I was like, that guy looks amazing. Like, he looked amazing. But then they showed like the dude with the top hat that I was showing pictures, and the guy's like, he looked like Pac-Man. He's just been painted to have some skin. So like, you don't know where it's going. There's a lot of idiosyncrasies. They said fall of 2022, I believe. They didn't give a date.
Holidays,
yeah.
So to me, I think all that stuff is going to be fixed, technically. I'm just going to say it should be, right? I'm not saying it will be. I'm just saying it should be fixed. We've seen that not happen. That's my hope. I mean,
it's also probably a vertical slice that's been, like, that has some legs on it, as it were. They might already have moved further on from that vertical slice.
They might have. If that's true, they should have removed the micro stutter then.
One
issue I have with vertical slice arguments is right. Because
what they show is what they show.
Yeah, so what they show accurate. Is what they show, I guess. Yeah. What were you going to say, Abzi? I think you were going to say.
So they kept talking about, you know, making your own story and, you know, going, you know, that scene with Avacadavra. Do you guys think there's going to be choice in that game? Like, leaning into
it? I would imagine so.
I would imagine so. If it's not, that'd be really disappointing. That'd be,
yeah. It does sort of raise. I think one
I already
of the
know where you're
maybe,
going.
That you usually, on,
let Silver ask this real quick.
Yeah.
But it does sort of raise, I think, what an issue that might have been one of the reasons why it felt a little off to me is it seems to rely a lot on combat, which is very standard for a video game, right?
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
But I mean, that's not really intrinsic to Harry Potter. Like combat fighting as
right
of,
there were there any puzzles
as the main
well I
yeah.
guess they said in
yeah,
the
there
dungeons
were, there
was
were.
A puzzle
yeah,
right
yeah,
okay
yeah
okay,
yeah
okay,
yeah
okay.
yeah so I think there will still be those elements, but I'm just worried about how much of a sort of main feature point the combat is going to be as a way to sort of interact with the world as opposed to like other stuff.
And the worry is
but,
for
I mean,
me
we'll find out.
I thought you were gonna say how do you make a villain who's scary because you already got this world's scariest villain that's already come out. And that's happened millions of times. Star Wars has issues with that. Every game in the world, by the way. So I'm not pointing at Harry Potter. I'm just saying, technically,
it's not easy to live up to.
As the new movies have attested to. It's not easy to like introduce something when you say this is the biggest badass ever, and then your next game is like, this guy's he's messing shit up. He's taking my house down in the middle of the night. We got to find him. What were we gonna say, Abzi?
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say, because usually games with a lot of choice, they put that in the forefront in trailers, like, choose, you can make your own choices.
Oh yeah, that is true. They
this one, they kind of were like hovering around it, but didn't really explicitly say that you can. But for a Harry Potter game or for a Hogwarts game or whatever, I think they should nail it in the dialogue section, or at least like kind of figuring out mysteries and talking it through and having the choice of that. So,
and does it affect your schools, your other people in your school? Like,
exactly,
let's say you're in the dark. What's the dark snake guys? The
Slytherin.
Slytherin. If you're Slytherin, then maybe doing some things, your group is like, hey, good job, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Like, they approve, disapprove, just like those old Bioware games, right?
What would be really cool is if you could, like, make your own spells, like, create them.
Right,
like say in Two Worlds, like sort of mix and match.
Dude, that was different. Amazing. Yeah. I don't know if the freedom's even allowed in Harry Potter as the books for you to do that much.
Right,
but yeah, I agree. Well, you know what I was thinking when I saw the combat? I was like, what would work for me? Bear with me. Is if somehow you locked on, and the reason why I'm saying lock on is because of my next point. But let's say you lock on in battle, and then you use your right thumbstick to draw magic spells. Which is sort of what I thought they were doing. So I was like,
draw it yourself.
Right.
Really
well,
cool,
and because I've been playing Ghostwire, you do a lot of drawing on the screen with your thumb. And I sort of dig it. And but then you have to figure out, if you're just running, you have to have a lock on at that point, because you'd be using that. What if it's bumper? What if it's buttons like ABBA? What if your combos are spells? What if ABBA is fireball,
ABBXY? Right,
Yeah. Of course, we're probably getting way over. It's going to be A, B, and Y, and X, or lightning. Yeah. Right? This happens every time.
Just because there were a lot of spells, and they were using a lot of spells in a short span. So I just wanted to know how it was implemented.
Well, didn't the guy do abracadabra or whatever, or kill you quickly or whatever? Yeah, he used a kill spell.
Yeah. But it's like, you're probably right, though. It'll probably be like, hold the right trigger, and you'll get like these four spells that you can choose from. So, yeah.
I mean, hey,
you know what it needs, though?
What?
Like a spell dial.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, go for it, Johnny.
Well, I was going to say, it needs a waifu system.
Okay.
Of course. Listen, no, hear me out, right? You know, Fire Emblem, the game, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on which house you're on, you have access to different people. And this is not just waifus, it's dudes as well, right? So whatever you like. But you can kind of hang out with the people in your like team or whatever, and bond with them. And there's like the social layer to the game. That was really cool. What would be cool here, if you can pick your house, is that then you can kind of hang out with different people depending on the house that you.
It better be. Like, I agree. Like, yeah, but you said waifu, I thought you meant girlfriend. Like you're just talking about it's social.
If it was similar to like. Fire Emblem Three Houses in that way, where you go with a house and you get.
But that's what I said.
Exactly. But that's right. Exactly it. I'm just drawing the comparison to like that.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
I did say
Fire Emblem.
He did say Fire Emblem.
Sorry,
yeah, he did.
Sorry, I just
no, it's all right.
No worries.
And it's good that you guys explain it, because I haven't played Fire Emblem 3. So, what is that? Right. The Tree House?
Three houses.
Treehouse. I was close. I got everything but the H. Come on. Oh, wait. I got everything but the H.
Good job.
Dude, I'm excited. You know, I saw some people who got... Everybody's losing their sense of humor. And of course, then I have to have more humor whenever anybody, you know, like, is like, this isn't funny. But I posted some goofy pics of like the zoomed in faces, because they're bad. The faces in this game are terrible most of the time. There's a couple that are good, but most of the time I'm not buying it when people say it looks good. I mean, I've looked at it now about 50 times, but you're playing this game, you're looking at it. I was just goofing around on Twitter, and so many people were so angry. And I was like, Harry Potter fans are thirsty for something good. Like, you can tell. Like it's I don't know how good the Amazing Creatures movies are doing. Maybe they're not doing well. I don't know. But it's like the thirst from people to want it to be good was really high.
It's like Star Wars, right? You haven't had a good, like, actual game in a while.
Jedi. Yeah. But I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah. Other than that, like before that, there was a lot of...
That's true.
For Harry Potter, yeah, it's been since like the PS1. I don't think the one on the Wii was that good. There were always like linear movie games where you play as Harry Potter and you go through the movie beats.
I can't wait, man. I mean, if it turns out good, dude, I'm going to be the first one there because I'm a huge fan of magic. He jumps on his fucking, his little stick of doom and he like starts flying around. I'm like, that looks cool. And then he comes up with the griffin. Like, I think it was Ray. Whoever talked, you maybe. We're talking about the riff. Yeah. And it comes up and the ocean's there. And I'm like, here's what I worried about. No lie, though. I was like, oh, fuck. It's going to be like a bowl. You can fly around and grab things, you know, like that, a bowl location, like a round look. I hope it's not.
Or you go two steps up and you're at the ceiling.
Yeah. Oh God. I forgot about that. I hate that. That's so bad. But that part looked cool. Puzzles, dungeon. Whoever the vocal guy does, I don't know if you guys picked up on it, but man, it sounded like there was going to be a lot of fucking dungeons. Like, they played up. Like it wasn't like dungeons, like here's the dungeon of obscenities, and there's that one, and then there's like sexual innuendo, and you do that one. The way he was talking sounded like there's going to be a lot of, and then you could go to the town, walk around, like, can you buy your own animal? That's another
thing. And apparently talk to people and stuff, and
But I mean, the idea.
Yeah, of course.
Because didn't we have others? What were some of the creatures you could get? It wasn't just owls, right? Or am I wrong? Was it just owls?
Well, you can get the herb creatures too, like the mandrakes that shot at people.
Yeah.
And
that was a cool spell.
Oh, and you can get pets. Yeah, you can get like a bunch of. You can save.
Admittedly, that bothered me. I know what you're talking about. He said you can save the animals from being hunted and take them home to your. And I was like,
yeah, to your little zoo, your private zoo. Yeah.
You know what though? Don't want to diss on it too bad because it could turn awesome, right? You know, maybe they do a nemesis system kind of thing in there. I'm just joking.
It's definitely the type of game though that I would definitely wait for reviews.
Because you never know how in depth that thing.
Because it could go really well. It could go terrible. It's one of two, I think.
But like you guys said, I don't
think
it's either really good or it'll be really bad. What were we saying, Silver?
That, just like you guys said, that part just with the I don't know, like
the creature thing,
the headquarters or whatever, where you had all the plants growing or whatever. It just did look a little too mobile gaming
for
me, with the cooldowns, with the like 24-hour cooldown on planning this thing. Like, is that like 24? I assume that's maybe 24 real hours, or is it 24 in-game hours? Right. Because we've had games like Dragon Age where it's been real life hours that you have to wait for the quest cooldown or whatever to go down, and you can initialize something
else. That's that mobile game stuff, right?
Oh, hey, I have a question for you guys. Did they say anything about, are you a freshman in this? Because that's another thing.
Fifth year. You're joining as a fifth year.
I thought fifth year is last.
Yes. So you're a new student, but it's unique because you're joining as a fifth year because... Yeah. You have access to control. You have access to control the ancient arts.
Okay.
You're too old to be a freshman, I think.
So, admittedly, because I like bully so much, I like the idea of like being. I don't like the idea of being bullied. It's not what I'm saying. The idea of going in as a 14-year-old or whatever the age is there for their first year, going in and then having like, somebody said seventh year is the last. Not fifth year. If that's true, you have two more. But what I was saying was, if it works good, then you know, you can have your sequel and you can do stuff. I want to make sure that you can, like, I don't just want to build at some point. If I'm just building a house and it's like Harry Potter's hangout, then it's like it doesn't really impact anything. Why would these people let me build this? I want the social relationships like Johnny was talking about, where it's like people trust you because you're a leader, maybe you save some people. It could be cool. By the way, I don't know if anybody saw the tweet, but I stated very clearly a tweet that was from the, I guess, social media manager, but he said, under no circumstances, there is no microtransactions. None.
Yeah.
It's not a co-op game either, which is unfortunate, but group of some kind. But there is absolutely no microtransactions, which maybe would be expansions, you know, if you get another year. I like the idea, man. I like the idea. It depends. I want a full-fledged thing, though. And I don't know if anybody but BioWare had that magic anymore.
True.
I want that.
I think the settlement system is like tacked on, like Fallout 4, right? Like Preston Gravy showing up and telling you to save some settlements.
I liked that. God damn it. I'm the only one who liked that.
There's no pleasing you. Do you like settlements or do you not?
Me? I like settlements in that game. They worked out well, which is why I said in this game, if they do stuff where they make it matter, I will like that. I will very much like it in this. I just couldn't figure out what he was doing. Because he's like, dude, if you were living at my house and you invited a bunch of barn animals into the house, I'd be like, the fuck are you doing? Why are you bringing them? And then you started just building walls. You were like, hey, dude, fucking tick, tick. I want it to make sense. I want him to be like, why does this person who's brand new, you guys just stated, why are they allowed to build houses or fucking, you know, kick out walls to like make your location? I'm saying is I hope the story gets us there, because otherwise you're just a newcomer kicking holes in walls, which is really weird. I like the bully part from Bully.
Yeah.
Where like are lower. I want to see like what is sixth and seventh years, if that person was right. What do they do? Like, do they treat you bad? That would be cool. Like, you have to watch out. But again, we're probably getting ahead of ourselves. It's probably none of this. It's probably none. It's probably going to be
it's
watering plants on the side.
It's funny you mentioned Bully, because I actually think that would make, for me, for a more like interesting Harry Potter game rather than the whole, say you got to save the world.
Oh,
like
absolutely. Mean a full Bully where you were like the bad guy?
Where... Yeah, like you did in Bully, where you had the different houses, like the nerds, the jocks, the preppies, and whatnot. You just have Gryffindor and whatnot, and then you have to sort of interact with the different houses. And
looks like
more of a social game.
In chat, a lot of people did not like the timers. It looks like uniformly, people that caused them to go. I think it's because timer means mobile to us. It just does.
Yeah,
like
and it also usually means there's a way to pay around.
Right, which is good.
That's what it screamed out.
Maybe that's why he went out, because he said he was getting asked a bunch, and he's like, "There's no micros." Maybe they need. Did you guys see that they were putting the interaction buttons like Ubisoft used to put titles? They were putting them on the walls. So if you look, he's in a fight, and if you look over in the corner, there's a rock, and on the rock says R2, press R2.
Yeah,
but it's on the rock, so it's like not.
Not
in
your
face. You know, I look like a Tyrannosaur, but it's,
I hope the whole game follows that. Not so like to the, you know, just more within the world.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get like, so if you're trying to do a puzzle or whatever, you see like the hints on the walls or you know, floating scrolls, or a owl gives you a fucking note or whatever. I don't know. We're talking, it's not going to be.
It has the potential. I don't know. No. Dude. It has potential.
What I'm expecting from social interactions is stuff like Telltale, where they say remembers anything.
Did you guys see the other game I posted about? Bloodlines. Oh, do we have anything else to talk about Hogwarts? I think Abzi did. Continue. What were you going to say? Were you going to say something about Hogwarts? I think I might have interrupted you.
I don't think so. I don't think so. We were just talking about choices, dialogue. I hope it has a good social aspect. That's my only thing. But I was just going to say it has the potential, but it also has the potential to be complete ass, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. Which team is building this, by the way? Do we know their heritage?
Avalanche.
But Avalanche, it's not the Avalanche I like. It's the other Avalanche, by the way. Just so you guys know, there's two Avalanches. This is not the Avalanche I like. It's the other. I'm not saying I don't like these guys.
It's not
Mad Max Avalanche.
It's
not Mad Max. That's what I was seeing people in the chat talk about it, because we were mentioning, somebody mentioned Mad Max, and they were like, no, it's not that group. It's a different group. Or it's another group. But it was the guy who said, it's going to be fire, and somebody said, actually, it's not that one. It's, I missed some of these super chats. Real quick. Tristan, $20 super chat. Thank you so much. He says, so is Hogwarts going to have classes that you have to attend? Yes. We saw classes, right? It looked definitely like there were classes you have to attend, which I think is awesome. Yes, I sort of dig that part in Bully. Yeah. I'm excited. And it won't be normal shit like Bully was. You know, Bully was, I mean, Bully had some chemicals.
Hopefully there won't be rhythm games like in Bully. Like, I sucked at that.
I love rhythm. No, game. Do you think like if you missed a class, there'd be consequences, or do you think it's going to be like a?
I don't know, but now I'm dying inside because they will be rhythm.
Oh no!
I mean, how else would you do it? Yeah, I don't want to. Because even Bully was that, right? With the chemicals. Well, it did have the one circle, the words.
The chemicals and the music. The chemicals, I actually didn't have an issue with. But like the music where you had to like play it and hit the right notes and whatnot.
They got a mic on the PS5. What if you have to sing?
That I sucked at.
You have to go to like band class.
Like some... some Simon Says stuff, like you have to move your wand left to right to up and then down again, and then you have to do it.
I mean, that it could be cool though if they incorporated like a microphone in that way, so you had to say like Expelliarmus or whatever. Like,
yeah, I think
it's actually your star.
I'm gonna get them so wrong, dude.
Oh yeah. Man, so will I. Map $5 super chat. Potter should have. Build a house instead of living under the stairs in his shit uncle's home for five movies. That is absolutely correct. That dude was, he was muggle abuse straight up. They were abusing him. Those muggles, those evil muggles. Yeah. I mean, fuck, now I'm thinking it's going to be rhythm and I really don't know how they get around it. I really don't want it to be that one. I don't want it to be rhythm.
Well, it could be other mini games. Like think for example, you know, BioShock with the pipes. That's an example of a mini game that, you know, this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. But I'm thinking, like, what if you had to put your fucking... Just bear with me. It's going to sound really weird. But what if you had, like, a broom is broken and you had to, like, put the pieces, like, somehow put it together and you get points for how quickly you put it together and... Sounds dumb.
Okay.
I was just trying to think of like an item thing that you are, because otherwise, if it's rhythm, there's nothing in a rhythm game. If that make, like, I get that people like them, but if you put that in a Hogwarts where it's A, B, B, A, that doesn't, there's nothing in that. But if there's a search on the screen for parts of a broken broom and then get them together as quickly as possible, something about that makes me, it's more interactive, I guess.
And or maybe you actually learn stuff in classes and then use critical thinking to solve problems.
Don't be silly.
What if?
That's ridiculous.
No, I got to stop. I'm so far off the range now. I was thinking, what if you go, they teach you a fire spell, but you can actually do a fireball or firewall spell, but you have to like do a combo they don't tell you about. I'm like, it would be the greatest thing in the world, though.
We should make a game already.
I know, we should. We should, man. Because we have the best ideas. Right now, if you're a developer, your idea is probably not as good as ours.
And we all know that if you have the idea, you also basically have the ready game.
You have the talent.
Implementation is easy, all right? Implementation is the easiest part.
Unity's out there. You can implement really quickly, I hear. Brian Chambers, $10 super chat. Can someone explain why Sony has such a god-awful return policy? Literally picked up GT7 just as the servers went down, and they reduced the in-game credits earned. So I'm assuming he's trying to return. Does Sony have a bad one still? I thought Sony fixed... Oh, no, they just fixed...
Can you even return anything on Sony?
Yeah, they just fixed Cyberpunk. That was it. I think Cyberpunk was the one. Because Microsoft's been a little bit better on that side.
And that wasn't really Sony doing that. That was like CD Projekt themselves saying, no, we'll return on the PS Store. That wasn't Sony saying that. That was CD Projekt. No. And then the fact that CD Projekt was sort of enabling return policies for their game is undoubtedly one of the reasons why it got pulled, because that became a whole thing.
That was a mess. So hopefully this, I forgot that. Yeah. Hopefully all this stuff in Harry Potter comes, guys, like if they do it, I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. So if they do it right, I can't wait. I got to say one thing, cause I know people are going to get mad, but you're just going to have to deal with it. That character, they look like Oblivion, and I posted the pictures of the character generator. It looks bad, legitimately bad, not current, even close to current day when it comes to your face. Other people's faces look better. I hope they figure out a way, like Black Desert. Look at Black Desert's create a character. It is its own game.
Oh yeah,
it's ridiculous. Yeah. Right. I'm not saying they have to do the same thing. What I'm saying is I really hope they look at it and say, we don't want, you know, Bill Plano face to be the main actor in our game. We need him to look unique. Harry Potter looked unique somewhat. I would love for them to really look at this and say, okay, let's add the texture onto the face, because they're really one note. Like they're
right.
And people will be like, well, they're young. They don't have wrinkles. First of all, you can definitely have laugh lines. You can have all kinds of stuff on your face, acne, whatever. There's other things you can do. They probably won't put beards on.
Yeah, I mean, it's they're puberty kids.
Yeah, so puberty kids. But I mean, they probably won't have a Karen beard. So you got to make the face look more.
Maybe some bracers, you know.
Oh my God, the mouth brace thing where you're like, okay, everybody, let's
with acne and everything.
What? Abracadabra. Blow yourself up.
With all of it. Yeah, the whole nine yards.
Here we go. Being very picky, Carrick, about the main character's lead face. That's fucking not picky. The main character, you're fucking looking at his face all the time in cutscenes. That's not picky, man. That's legitimately
and the
just
back
wanting
of his
a
head,
good-looking
hey,
character.
The back of his head needs to be, look pristine.
Or have good hair.
No.
Like Shredder's.
Or a beanie.
Holy shit. Beanie, yeah, the beanie. Did you guys see Shredder's, the snowboard game I posted?
Yeah, oh. Yeah, yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
So this snowboard game, it's not getting great reviews or terrible ones. Sort of middling. But they have his dreads has physics, and it looks so good. It is awesome looking. Like he came doing it's a snowboarding game for people who just wondering and doing a flip. It's just, oh, it looked so good, man. Yeah, I like that kind of detail. And you are staring at a character for a long time. And it's the same problem that we had with Jedi. You know, Jedi gave you a burlap sack and said, be happy with our upgrade. Like, yeah. here's 75 God. Colors of ponchos. I don't want that. If gamers are mad at me because they think I'm picky because I don't want the same fucking 17 ponchos, that's on you, man. Like, I'm glad you're okay with mediocrity. They were all
the same.
They were
the
terrible.
Whole game, all the loot in the game was based around cosmetics. And even then, the cosmetics didn't. Oh my God. Okay, sorry. Just we're getting off track again.
I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait. I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited to see this. If it works, then you might see, you know, there's about 85 worlds right now where it's like Magicians is another one that was big on Netflix for 6 seasons, which was another, you know, real life mixing with magic. I dig it. But speaking of that, let's talk about Vampyr. Did you guys see that game I posted? So that's called, what is that? The Crucible? Vampyr the Crucible?
No, it was, the Vampyr, the Masquerade Swan
Song? Oh, the Masquerade.
Swan Song. Yeah, so this is the game, by the way, that is built on the Council's graphics engine. The Council, that one game that came out in five... The
investigation
four
game.
Four or five pieces, yeah. And first of all, that trailer... If you want to know what bad voice acting sounds like, what I mean by that is not people who sound amateurish, but bad. Check out that trailer. It is terrible. It's terrible.
Man, I lost track with how many Vampire the Masquerade games there are. Which one's the fucking the
Bloodlines
main one,
dude? The Bloodlines is the good one.
So Bloodlines 2, is that ever going to come out, or are they just making these other games? It's in like Dub Hell. It's for sure in Dub Hell.
I think it is
not really affiliated beyond the license.
I think
true.
It's
beyond
Dub Hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think behind the scenes that is, dude, the main people who made Bloodlines plus Avalon, he was gone. We're going to talk about Perfect Dark. They lost a bunch of people recently.
Yeah.
There's some games where you look at it and you're like, okay, it got hit once. Okay. Game has got
hit by Corona,
four times and lost its two main people and lost its main writer and switched development teams twice. That's like development's seventh level of hell. That's ridiculous. So sad. I want to see that, man. I want to see it. I think it's exciting.
I thought for a second.
Go ahead.
I thought for a second you guys were talking about a new Vampyr game.
I wish. That fucking game was phenomenal, dude. Vampyr.
Don't Nod or...
Vampyr 2 is coming.
Oh man, that game, the dialogue there.
With my feelings.
Dude, the dialogue in that game was amazing.
No, it's coming for sure.
Oh man.
It's real.
That was one game where the choices you made literally you could see in front of you how it impacted the world.
It was so good. And the combat was medium to good depending. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't set the bar. Yeah. But it did what it needed to do in that game.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It did feel good. It had some jankiness to it.
I think the spells also, we talk about this. Like, we talked about it prior to the podcast, Elden Ring. Somebody starts in super low vigor. They're going to play completely different if they don't raise that up with their other. And Vampyr had those different spells. And depending on what ones you picked, a little bit like Prey 2016, certain things may not feel as good. you know, depending on what's... I picked what I consider to be good feeling spells in Vampyr or powers.
Yeah.
I got lucky.
Yeah.
Because I know.
Plus, if you don't go too evil, you're not going to get much XP, right? To even try out all the spells.
I mean, you're going to get less, but you're still going to get
some. Did anybody not kill anybody in that game?
Yeah, I went.
Dude,
was it possible? Because I was told there was one guy you had to kill, but I didn't know if that was like sort of a this just happens. Because
I remember it was possible. Okay. But I mean, it's been years.
Dude, I remember I killed one person only, and that's because that one person seemed completely evil. Oh, and then after I killed him, right after I killed him, it was like, oh, so I owned an orphanage and I kept adopted children there.
It's the same one I got where I killed the kid, or I got the opposite where I killed the kid and I was like, he's mine. And then I went in that room and the lady's like, I don't know where poor Bill is. He's been helping all of the people. And I'm like, did I just eat fucking Bill, man? I think I did. And went back out and it was him. Yeah. And I was like, whoa.
I drank. Yeah, I drank everybody, dude.
Did you?
Everybody.
Vampyr made you feel powerful in the fact that you could affect the world. You would do that. There would be no quest because you killed that guy. But that was...
Yeah.
Plus, aside from killing or not killing people, some choices were incredibly difficult to make. Like telling a mother that her child's going to commit suicide.
I remember that quest.
Telling a man that his dead wife was cheating on him. I was like, damn, dude, like, I don't fucking know if I want to tell him or not. Like,
right.
There are very hard moral choices in that game.
That's true.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, hopefully that gets reflected back on Harry Potter, but it won't. But I like those kind of choices where you're like, oh, you know, do I want
to? I had to sleep on those. I went and talked to my mom. I was like, Mom, what would you do?
Wait, what?
So
your mom would be like, mom. Son, what the fuck are you talking about?
I went to my mom. I was like, Mom, this
mom!
Is
not.
I
don't know what to do.
I did. I called my mom.
I called my mom to tell her I ate everybody. Brian Lane, $2 super chat. Finished Elden Ring today. What an awesome game. I agree. Poth is back. Yeah, what's up, brother? This guy's he's here all the time. You're like the number one. I can always bet that he'll be here. He says, isn't every Souls game hitting the same beat, even the enemy types, and sometimes their move set the same? Do you see that from FromSoft like Ubisoft? Yes. We talked about that. Like,
yeah.
Don't you guys agree? I mean, I think, Silver, you brought it up that you felt that sometimes, like, ways enemies were set up just felt a little bit like Elden Ring.
Yeah. I mean, not only that, but there are specific like boss enemies or encounters in this game that are pretty much lifted straight.
Feel like
out of
they're from those other games, yeah.
Yeah, they have the like similar or exact move sets from those games. Yeah.
Good thing I didn't play those games.
I mean, I will say that it's difficult at times when you want to ding a game for that, because I also feel like those games prepared me for Elden Ring, you know?
Yeah.
So
I mean, for a lot of From Software fans, that's not a con. Like that's a plus.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good way to think of it. And then for people who, this is their first one, they won't feel that. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So I guess you're hitting the two prong.
And I will also say, I mean, I know I've talked a lot about I don't know if I talked about it a lot on the podcast, but like, how some of the boss encounters can get repetitive because you fight the same bosses.
Yeah, you did.
Over.
Yeah, you brought it up. And I mean, I think that...
But that is only really because of how many hours you have to put into the game. The enemy variety in the game is impressive in general. Like, it is, I think, above what you get for most open world games. Yeah.
I think a lot of times... I see the boss trees can stuff. I see that, but I like... fighting like the boss multiple times, for example, and then he'd like hit me with something new because that boss can spew poison or something. But like, kind of some of that stuff I enjoyed, but sometimes it got repetitive. Especially the duo fight. I don't think duo fights are good.
Duo?
Yeah, I mean that was sort of
like when you get two bosses.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was one of the main ways they changed it up, was just, oh, you're gonna fight this guy again, but this time there are two of them. Yeah,
I just can't wait if Reg ever plays this to see what he thinks of this game. It's lost art for now, but yeah, I mean, I really do want to see. And
he's not gonna like the way the rocks look.
No, that was what's his name. Remember, Reg took that to town.
In this game, I know that it doesn't look amazing. Already,
I think when you look at it though, like Johnny's playing Horizon. When I play Horizon, I have more issues with combat than I do with Elden Ring, which is weird because in the past, I did not agree with people that Dark Souls combat was very good. I still don't. I don't. I think it's its thing. But if you try to say it's realistic or whatever, I'm like, dude, it's not. Having swung a sword at somebody, I can tell you 90% of that, it doesn't feel, it's nowhere, it's just, it's their
it's
kind
not realistic.
Of combat.
Dude, yeah. I was dual-wielding colossal
yeah, dude, it's their thing, and that's okay, right? That's okay, that's what we want. But I definitely jump back to Horizon, and the first time I swung, and you get that weird, she missed completely, kind of like, you're like, almost where you can't figure out where to aim sometimes in that game, in Horizon in particular, I definitely felt that when I came back. But I don't know. That's just me. What about you guys? Is there anything you guys have had issues with returning to after Elden Ring? Like, do you guys, like, or is anybody, I guess you guys are still doing Elden Ring or haven't? Haven't done it at all.
I think, like, it's like the same of me playing Red Dead Redemption 2. After playing it, I was like, I told myself, okay, I'm never going to be able to play other open worlds again. But then I played Assassin's Creed Odyssey right after, and I enjoyed it because it was just like, you know, it was just like the complete opposite, where it's much faster, and I was just like, okay, I'm playing a game and I can relax and stuff, right? But I think it'll have the same effect, where right now I'm like, oh my god, I don't think I can play other open worlds. I have a lot of icons, but then I'm going to go to one and I'm going to be like, okay, this is chill. Just going to go to this icon, do this.
I played Ragnarok after Elden Ring, had no issues.
Yeah.
Like, right. I'm a human. I'm adaptable.
On the contrary, you found it easy, right? From
I did find the... I did find combat. I don't think Valhalla's combat's great. In fact, I think it's a little confusing. Yeah. Hold this trigger down, then press... Like, something about the powers really always... And it's like, this hand does one thing that you're just like, geez, that's a lot for a game that isn't the greatest and has lock-on already. So, like, there was some weirdness, but dude, yeah, the attacks were so slow compared to Dark Souls, or compared to Elden Ring. I went in and the guy, like, swung, and I'm all, oh, that's a swing. And I was like, I bet you I wouldn't have reacted nearly that, like, quickly if I hadn't been playing Elden Ring. So, yeah, it's good to go back to those. Let's see, do we have anything else to add about any of this? I think that's about it. Oh, wait.
I think we're good.
Charles says, $2. I hope Hogwarts uses the DualSense for minigames. In what way? Because I have yet to find, like, a game that uses the DualSense good.
Like vibration with the spells or something? Or trigger?
Well, vibration can be done on anything. So
usually it's like tilting the controller and stuff like that.
Oh,
the last thing I want is to have to fucking wiggle my... You know what I mean? Like, I'm... Dude, I'm out of work, relaxing. I don't want to have to fucking,
you know, do a, I love it in GT. I think session. I was having such a great time with Gyro, but I'm not 100% sure I would want any of that in Harry Potter. Yeah. I mean, and then the trigger thing, I've really had a tendency to turn down, because they're at some point, if you're pulling the triggers really hard, you're slightly adjusting where your thumb goes. There's just a lot of things I wasn't in love with. So we'll have to see. I think the DualSense is one step closer to where we want to be. But personally, me, I don't feel like it's anywhere near where we need to be. Do you know what we need to have? And I'm not going to love it when it happens. I'm probably going to turn it off. But I will say, to move gaming forward, is actual haptics in the sticks. Whether it be force feedback, whether it be whatever. I think that, imagine playing a UFC where you feel that up is easier to move than left, right, and down, because up is how you slip out of the triangle hold. That kind of stuff is next level.
Oh, that would feel so weird.
It would at first. I know. But imagine if you're feeling around going, where's it easier to move this gamepad? Oh, up. And you slip out. Mm. I actually would fucking kill for that. Like, that might, for that game, not every game, but that
True. Or racing games as well. I went to my friend's house and I tried F1 on the PS5, because I've never touched the PS5 before. I've never seen one in real life until like a couple of weeks ago. And, the haptic, whatever, I don't know. I didn't really feel that much, but I felt the trigger thing where it like pushes back.
Well, that is that is.
That's the thing? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because Xbox has vibrating triggers.
Yes, I like those.
So it's like one step below and then this one step above with the pushback. Mm-hmm. I actually, like I said, I usually turn it all the way down. I usually am like, I'll put it at one or two maybe, because I was playing a shooter. I think it might have been COD, and I was like, oh my God. Trying to, like, one of the guns had a bigger pull, and it just didn't feel right. And then I play games for a long period of time. My fingers, the honest truth is my fingers, just like if I was shooting a real gun, my fingers were getting tired. And I was like,
yeah,
you know,
I've had major issues with motion controls in general. I think the only time it really hit off for me was the Metroid Prime trilogy, where they sort of revamped Metroid Prime 1 and 2 to use the nunchuck and Wiimote. And that I found actually worked really well for that game for whatever reason. But that's been sort of one of the few that's been the exception to the rule that a lot of the time I struggle with like motion controls.
I can't wait to see what they do, but it's really hard. It's going to be really hard to make sure that it doesn't impact what you normally do in the game. You normally run forward and you don't have any tension on your fingers, let's say. Your brain is going to think that's forward, but if the controller's pushing back, like let's say force feedback in the gamepad, that could be pretty rough. Or like if you're trying to run forward and the game's like making a little bit slower, it may not feel as good. I don't know. Maybe they tried that. Who knows? Maybe companies have already tried that and whoever focus tested it was like, this is shit. You know, I don't want to play it this way. It's completely possible. Mm-hmm. Thanks for breaking everything, dog. All right. Just jumped up on my bed, destroyed everything. Let's talk about something I'm excited about. Did you guys see this? Nexus Files, man. Dude, collections on Nexus Files. That is so if people don't know, huge. Nexus Files is adding their own version of Wabbajack. And if you don't know what that is basically a packaging system for mods for Skyrim, Fallout, VR, and Fallout have it. I think those are the main ones where people test the setups. They're 100% no errors. And then they make a metadata tree file and you can get that. That's what Wabbajack does. You can double click it and it sort of installs for you. File Nexus is starting a thing called Collections, which is the exact same thing and is built into File Nexus.
That is
for all
awesome.
Games.
So I've used Wabbajack.
It's awesome.
Before, and the fact that it's a literally one press of a button.
Yeah.
Instead of 3 days of modding, sometimes weeks,
and getting a purple texture and going.
Yep, it's fucking amazing. I did that for my Fallout 4. I did that for Skyrim. I had a little issue, but I corrected it instantly. But being built into Nexus mods, there's not that many packages on Wabbajack. There's like
10. Yeah, that's true.
You know, per game. Yeah. So I think that'll be huge because there's a lot of guides about, you know, a lot of setups. And I think that would alleviate a lot of.
Or how many times you guys have posted videos of a modded game and somebody's like, what mods are you running? And you're like, well, I'm running 312 mods and I do but sometimes
for
I have
Skyrim,
half of this.
It usually is that number.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're like,
I was at 800.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And you'll be like, I had 400 fully running, 200 I had one option running because this option is also replicated, but I like the scaling here. When you get it set up, you're going to be able to push a button and fucking deliver that meta to someone else who's going to be able to just dude.
Yeah.
And they even
share it with your friends. That's the big
thing.
They
even stated
right?
You won't have to worry about any packages. It's going to be in there and it's going to come from File Nexus. So you're not going to have to worry. And if stuff's not there or live anymore, it'll give you a warning that item is not live anymore. It's just, we talked about this. I am absolutely sure months and months ago where we were saying it would be great if Wabbajack was available for everything. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know if they changed the terms again, but I think the not live anymore thing isn't a thing anymore on Nexus.
What? Not live 2.0?
You can turn you can turn them private, can't you? Because I've gone to a couple.
I think that was the big hubbub back then that you could no longer deactivate and remove your mods once you have uploaded them.
There's some way somebody's doing it because I clicked on a Cyberpunk mod yesterday and it did say this is no longer available.
Yeah, you can or at least I hid my mod or I removed it. I forgot, but you can.
I do remember that being
a lot of
big
modders like a year or two ago leaving the platform because of that.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Because they wanted to be able to remove it because other people were grabbing it and they were like, and File Nexus said,
it's like, dude, it's my mod. I want to do with it what I want.
But regardless, for whatever thing, they did talk about where it's coming from in their FAQ. So they're at least making sure people know. But you guys got to realize, man, File Nexus ain't just fucking Skyrim. That's Hitman.
Oh no,
that's basically fucking everything. Dragon Age. So everybody mm-hmm. was always talking about my Dragon Age mods that I got running, and I really enjoyed it with a new camera and all this stuff. That means I can just grab the meta, upload it, and be like, "Here's a picture of what it looks like." Here's, dude, that's the fucking future of modding.
Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think people. If you've modded Skyrim, you get what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you may not. Yeah. But it's redonkulous how many purple Skyrim fucking texture you'll get. And you'll be like, oh no.
And every time you try to Skyrim
is terrible because you not only have to download everything, you have to also have to correct load order.
Yeah.
And sometimes patch the things because
sometimes
you
have to go into creation engine. Mm-hmm. You have to go into creation engine and like verify stuff and like change the audio.
Dude, it's gonna be so great.
And then you have to test after every like 2-3 months.
Honestly, if you consider like my height of excitement this year is that's the highest, higher than Starfield.
That'll be so good for Starfield.
It'd be so good for Starfield. How many times have we've seen it daily in the Discord where somebody's like, I was running this mod. And somebody's like, what mods? Where'd you find it? Blah, blah, blah. None of that, at least for the mods on File Nexus, but none of that's going to be required when it gets up. This is a massive, it's massive because you can jump into a game now and say, you know, like, I want to remove this and this in Cyberpunk or whatever. And once you get it running and people like it, you know, you could just not sponsored mods, but this is Carrick's special mod list, you know, whatever for these type of things and big booty mod list, you know,
there you go.
Yeah.
Plus you can still tweak it after you can add stuff, of course, stuff, you know, it's just...
I can't wait, man. I'm excited for that. Hugely excited for it.
By the way, real quick, before we move on from mods, there was a really cool first-person mod for Witcher 3 that popped up this week.
I saw that. And combat's possible,
Yeah, you can play the whole game in FPS, and you can switch freely between first-person and...
Do you twirl with Geralt? Like you actually
That's a good question. Do you twirl?
So it was really polished. You could see even the animations when you attacked and everything. So I would imagine yes.
Uh-oh. I don't
like your camera goes around.
That could make me sick. If I 360.
I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
Well, dude. I mean, then just put a VR mod on as well. And perfect.
Oh, yeah. Twirl yourself.
Hey, dude, come over. What are we doing? We're just twirling in Witcher for an hour. Honestly, that is when you talk about torture or whatever, that is the VR mod sickness is horrendous. So the idea of like knowing that might happen is. That's high anxiety for me.
Because like Geralt doesn't just attack like this, like he moves his whole body. So I was wondering how it would work in a first-person view.
Yeah, you know? Well, all I know is the ratings were really high and people said it was polished. Like, it was, because nice. I saw that as well. And then I saw the fix for the explosions in Cyberpunk, and it was just mind-blowing. Like, this is the thing, guys. Mod makers are just, they're magic users. He did something that no one had thought of, which is to take the explosions texture and add, using GIMP, noise to it so it looks a billion times better. Like it if you guys haven't seen this, it's called Improved Explosions or whatever. And it came out yesterday for Cyberpunk. And it doesn't even look like the same goddamn thing. It's like it is that much better. It's like improving the fire and explosions 20, 30 times. Like they look next gen compared to what they look like, you know, when you normally play the game.
Right.
And that was just a modder who was like, I'm just going to grab the texture and add some noise to it. And he even explained it incorrectly because people in the chat were like, actually, you said you added bump mapping. You didn't. You added noise. Here's how it worked. And he's like, okay, thanks. And it was just this really cool moment where everybody was last night reading their post. File Nexus posts are pretty bitchy most of the time. Where people are like, I got a blue texture. I fucking hate you. You know, hope your kids die. And instead... It was just this awesome moment where everybody was really excited to see it.
Collaborating and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Cyberpunk has a lot of essential mods. CD Projekt Red should be ashamed. Okay. That's pretty rough. I mean, I don't know how long I'm going to... Well, you said CD Projekt Red should be ashamed because it needs so many essential mods. And it's like, I don't know if I want to hold them to that. Like, they're trying to fix their shit. Plus, the poor texture guy, I'm sure he wasn't like... If he had known he could have done that... Oh, there we go. Case B... EB says, better explosions and fire V2.3, version 2.3 is what it's called. And if you guys ever play Cyberpunk, check it out.
That's not necessarily like an essential mod. That's just
That one's not essential.
Yeah.
I didn't hear a lot of people talking about the FPS hit, which was pretty crazy though. It seems like because of the
Cyberpunk?
Way it, yeah, because of the way this one's done, it doesn't add anything. It just literally like
If it's just a different texture.
It's just it just puts more visual noise in the explosions that were not there. Dude, you guys should see it. I'll hold them to the fact that they released a broken product. I think everybody does.
That's fair.
But I mean, at some point, I'm not going to ask them to, you know, slap their back with a hairbrush. Like, it's, you know, you did what you did. The explosion mod is on the main Nexus Cyberpunk page. You can't miss it, Sakabe says. So that's very cool. So anyway, mods. Let's do games of the week there, Reg. Free.
All righty.
Free games.
Yes. Where's my file? There it is. All right, free for everyone. It's on the Epic Games Store in Sound Mind. That's it with the actually free games. On to subscription stuff, Xbox Games with Gold has SpongeBob's Truth or Square and Street Power Soccer. PC Game Pass has The Dungeon of Nina Heulboik. I don't know.
Sounds like me reading one.
The Amulet of Chaos at Shredders, and coming next week, Zero Escape, the Nonary games. And on Game Pass console, we have the same and additional Paradise Killer and Tunic. And also coming next week, only to console, is Kraken Academy, Tainted Grail Conquest, and also Zero Escape, the Nonary games.
Wow.
And that's the end of the
I have list. A question for all you guys. Anybody played Tainted Grail?
Yes.
Yes. Love it.
Yes.
That's the sort of dark looking card game, right?
Deck building.
That's the one that's roguelike, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically, how it's a really good game, really good music, but how it started was that so they're making another Tainted Grail, which is an actually fully fledged RPG. And to test some mechanics and combat, they pulled a vertical slice and made it into a little thing so that they could test like balancing stuff. And then I guess the devs liked it a lot. They made it into a roguelike and then put it up on Steam. Or other people tested it and they enjoyed it a lot that they made it its own roguelike. Yep. Yeah. It's pretty cool. I would recommend it if you like roguelike, if you like deck building. There's a lot of different classes. And the music is just really, really good. Really good music. Yeah.
Reg, any of those games excite you?
Tunic, I mean, I'm going to check out if it's already on Game Pass.
So Tunic looked like a Death's Door, but having a fox instead of a...
Well, I mean, it's Silver's indie game, so let's just jump to it. Right? That is your indie game of the week, right? Tunic? What is it?
So Tunic's sort of been an indie darling for a couple of years. It was announced back in 2018 with some gameplay footage that really took a lot of sort of indie watchers by storm. It's been developed by a one-man developer, Andrew Schultes. I hope I pronounced that correctly. It's an isometric sort of action... suppose you could call it kind of an RPG type thing, where you walk around the environment, engage enemies in combat. It looks a lot like old school Zelda, doesn't play that much like old school Zelda, among other things, because you do have a stamina meter that you don't actually burn stamina attacking, you only burn stamina dodging. So kind of like Sekiro, I think.
Yeah.
Does that, right? And there's also like Dark Souls where you accumulate instead of XP or souls, whatever, you accumulate coins when you defeat enemies. And if you get killed, you then you then lose them potentially and have to go to where you died and pick them up again. You also get these like safe zones, like bonfires and stuff that you can stop at.
Holy shit.
And you get regenerating health potions that are regenerated when you rest there. It's quite difficult also. It looks like
that's
a very
what I heard.
sort of It looks like a very sort of adorable, right. Sort of kid-friendly game. Uh-huh. It's not
that's
really
evil. That's like Happy Tree Friends evil.
Yeah, no, like, it's pretty. From what I understand,
not only that, but like it throws you off the deep end immediately. Like if you think Elden Ring is sort of obfuscated in how in its subject matter, it has nothing on this game, because I mean you start out just initially as this anthropomorphic Spox, which looks a lot like a certain Hylian adventurer, and like with the sword and shield and tunic and everything.
Oh, I see. Okay, gotcha. Yeah,
and the colorization of it, and then you basically just go into this isometric world where even like the stuff you interact with, a lot of it is in this script that the game has sort of developed for itself that you can't decipher. It's like this alien sort of language. And so you get an interaction prompt in this sort of alien language that where you don't know what it says. And then at the bottom, it just says, okay, or no. You have to sort of guess or surmise what it is.
You
want
to die right now? Okay.
That you're doing from what you're doing it from the context of what you're doing in the game. So if you're like interacting with an object, oh, it's asking me, do I want to pick this up? Or it's asking me, do I want to unlock this?
I would mess with people if that was my game, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem almost a little trolling, because you also pick up, like, you don't have an actual manual in the game that you can reference, but you pick up pages from it. So you actually start to sort of expand it, where it tells you the controls and stuff. But even parts of that manual are also in that indecipherable script where you don't really know what it says. So there does appear to be like an element of trolling on the part of the developer, almost, it feels like. And yeah, it can be quite difficult. Like enemies in the start do a fair amount of damage, and you only start basically with a useless stick that you can't really use for much in terms of combat until you get the sword. So I can definitely see a lot of people having rough first impressions with it. I haven't gotten that far into it yet, but I have been enjoying it. It feels polished relatively outside of like just how obtuse it is, but yeah, I've been enjoying it.
Yeah,
and it's on Game Pass,
so give it a try. I'm downloading it. Yeah,
it looks graphically, it looks really cool. I like.
Yeah, it's very nice art style. Also very charming soundtrack.
Julian Watkins, $10 super chat. Hey gents, just wanted to say mad love for the podcast and the ACG channel. Thank you very much. Get a chance, spread the word about it, man. That's the major thing. This game, anybody play Zaxxon 3D or Sonic Blast from, I think that was BioWare. Was that BioWare's Sonic game? Oh, okay. Well, it's not Gruyard shading. There's a name for the way it's shaded, which is like that we almost flat and then got a pastel look to everything. I love that, man. But I did hear people were telling me, they were like, dude, that shit is tough. Like it is a tough game. So I mean, one of the people I talked to said he's had a harder time playing that than Elden Ring, which is pretty interesting.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing you need to be careful with is it's very, very easy to get greedy in the game. And sometimes you can only get in like one hit.
Oh.
No, with hits, like where before enemies will punish you, and they may punish you severely. Like a lot of some of the enemies you can only get in like one hit before you need to get out of there or they will punish you.
How much is that? I know it's on Game Pass, but if it's not, is it 19? Or is that a 49?
It was £25.
Oh, not bad.
On the Steam store.
Yeah, that's like 30 for us, I think. I think 30, we're still below. Probably. I think we're still a little bit less than you guys. Creepo Evox says accessibility options are also good in that too.
Yeah, it's $30. $30.
Accessibility in Tunic would be what? Color blind, I'm assuming. What other accessibility options are in that game?
There's like the one hand thing.
Oh, there's a one. Oh, yeah. I always forget now, especially talking to Ginger, because that's what he does. It's some of the, you know, controller setups. The one hand setup is actually a pretty big deal. And yeah, the more games that can do that, the better. Though, admittedly, you are removing like 18 inputs. But
I saw a dude beat Elden Ring with his feet. So,
of course,
where there is a will,
I hate talent.
Yeah.
Wow.
I hate him. I'll think I'm good at something, and like it doesn't. And you sometimes I won't meet them. It's just you watch them online or whatever. And like this one time, everybody was like, oh, dude, this is the most amazing sniper shot ever in Halo. And I went back and looked at it, and it was. It was like, it was so stupidly good. It was like one guy against five or whatever, and he took all five out. And I was like, how did he take them out? Because I would have just waited for him, right? Like, sit there and wait. But instead, this guy was like actively, right? There was no, he wasn't hiding so that he was, so people couldn't see him. He was fucking going for it, and he still did it. And I'm just like, I hate talent, and I hate you. I hate it. Some people are just good, man. I'd never even tried to play it. What was he using? A guitar controller as well? Was he just trying to make it doubly hard?
Just just an actual controller.
Oh, did he not have arms, or was this somebody who also was just
No, he has arms.
Wow. So he's just
he's the dude that does the no-hit runs. Like he played from Bloodborne all the way, like Dark Souls 1, 2, 3, and Sekiro in one run without getting hit once. He's that dude.
My brother, when I was younger, man, I just didn't know how to fight at all. You learn when your brother beats you up. But he used to say, I'll beat you up with one hand. And he would put it, and he would just have one fist out. And it didn't matter. He still beat my ass. He'd be like, dude, I hate you. Yeah. I hate that kind of stuff where somebody's like, I got, you know, good hands. I can still play it that way, but I'm going to show you guys. I'm going to play it with my feet. And you're just like, fuck off, man. Wonder
Hob, yeah. Happy Hob.
Oh.
Yeah, by the way, several people have done that by now. Which is incredible.
What, played it with their feet?
No, all those games in one sitting, no hit.
Dude.
But I think he may have been the first to do it.
Dude.
No. Yeah, a lot of people are doing that now, yeah. Someone already did the no-hit run for Elden Ring, I saw. Yeah.
Admittedly, yeah. I can go a long time fighting normal guys without a hit. Not an issue. But
that's when I struggle
in?
With those more than the bosses. Dude.
Oh, do you? Because do you think you lower your requirement mentally a little bit? Because you get a little looser.
I get a little greedier. But also, when there's like multiple enemies on me, sometimes I have to just get away.
Oh,
I don't know how to handle that. Yeah.
Especially
the hands. Fuck those hands, dude.
Oh.
Kino says, "Carrick, your brother was cool. He was." Yeah, those kind of things are just mind-boggling to me that somebody can do that. But it's also I would not ever want to try it. It just doesn't sound fun. It sounds terrible because what if you do get hit? And I've seen the fails where somebody's like on the last boss and they
get
hit
to the very end. Yeah. Jesus Christ, yeah.
No way, man.
But I would just imagine like if I got that far without getting hit, my fucking anxiety would be through the roof. Like my heart would be being at like 200 BPM.
Yeah.
Where you fuck get that. Me, dude. And it'll happen. You'll see it a lot in sparring where you'll be doing good. But then if you know you're doing good, it gets way worse because you start knowing you're good and treating it like I want to be as good as I was a second ago. So now I've got it. And then pretty soon the person mentally falls apart because their brain can't handle it. That's what I do in Elden Ring. If I don't get hit for a while and then I do go in, and I start remembering I didn't get hit. And then now that's on you, which is an added, you're making it harder on yourself. Like,
that's
why
the thing.
Are you doing
I thought about, I thought about getting into speed running, but then it's just, I feel like I'd get so anxious towards the end where it's like, oh my God, I'm hitting a new personal best. Holy shit. And then I just fuck up.
Do you guys have, speaking of anxiety, I do have it's not sexual term. It sounds sexual, but like pre-completion anxiety when it comes to like spreadsheets. So if I have 100 entries on a spreadsheet, totally fine till 80. But you can guarantee my brain is like, I can't wait to be done. I can't wait to be done. I can't go. And then pretty soon my brain is so loud in the last 20 that something happens where it's not even anxiety. It's just, you want to be done so bad.
Right.
Like when we used to hack wood, we used to put wooden cords. You'd get half a cord done. You knew you had to do another half. And that last half was horrendous because you were closer than you were at the starting pre-completion. Yeah. That's, I don't know any other
completion.
I don't know any other way to describe it. You guys don't get anxiety like that. So do you get anxiety at all?
I do.
I get it just from that. So you guys, well, Abzi does. Silver, Reg, Johnny, you guys don't get anxious about any. What about events? Like if I said you had to talk in front of 2,000 people.
I don't get anxiety from that, though.
No, that wouldn't make me anxious.
It would for you, Reg.
15,000.
Yeah. So what gives you anxiety, Reg? If that gives you anxiety, do you get anxiety from deadlines?
It's more like if you're already like sitting for 9 hours and you just want to have that problem done.
I think that's what I'm talking about.
The last 1%.
Yeah, it's a killer. It's a killer. My brain just...
Were you constantly thinking like, come on, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it right now. And you hit run and it's still not it.
It's almost like the times where you know a name for an actor or whatever and you can't like remember it.
Right.
And I start getting angry and almost like, it's like, I need this now. Like then I won't want to look it up because I'll be like, am I getting Alzheimer's? I can't remember this 1987 actor who was in a single B movie. I'm like, why the fuck can I remember that? You get stressed out. Johnny, do you get any?
For me, it was in my prior role in the company, I was like the top escalation person for a team. So I was the ultimate responsible. So if shit goes down.
Oh, gotcha.
If I don't find a solution for the problem, no one will. Right. So that sort of really made me anxious because there were times where shit hit the fan and you know, I would get paged at 2 a.m. and I'd be like, OK, if I don't fix this now, you know, like it's going to be an outage for hours and we're going to lose, like it's really bad. So which is one of the reasons why I don't have that role anymore, because
yeah, did it make sucked. You find
it had lots of yeah. Yeah.
It's not worth the money sometimes. I love those kind of things. Like I worked in emergency services. I love
that. It was
that.
Cool for a while.
But, exactly. What I was going to say. Yeah. At some point, your brain, everybody's brain gets used to everything. You know, yes. Like yeah. You always.
That's the great thing about people are adaptability.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But the problem is once you start getting accustomed to it, then it's just the anxiety, not the excitement. It's just, and now you're like, oh no.
It becomes routine.
It's and that's when. If you're not the kind of person who can deal with routine, or you're not the kind of person who it just sort of wears on you. And then you're like, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Julian says, perhaps you could start pretending you only have half of what you have left. Oh, dude, bro. I saw the David Blaine talking about that. In fact, that is a normal, that is a very real thing that I do. It definitely does work. But at some point, you know you're fooling yourself by fooling yourself to know you're fooling yourself, and then your brain gets loud anyway. We're pretty intelligent people. Like, it's hard to pull one over on yourself. At some point, if you're able to fool yourself that much on that kind of thing.
Like GT7, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Anyway, let's see. What else do we got? Did free games?
By the way,
let's
just... Before we move on from free games, super quick, a couple of mentions from what Reg said. The Nonary games, the escape room games, Zero Escape, they are highly praised from the PS Vita even era, I think. I played one of them. It was a really good escape game, and just overall really highly praised. So if people want to give a shot to like escape room games, that's a good one.
Are they flat? Are they pancake or VR?
They're pancake.
Okay.
They are old. So I don't know if they've remastered them, but just so you know, they're kind of old.
Not really, no.
So they won't look great, but they're cool.
Escape room stuff is actually pretty cool as a game. Like, I don't get stressed by that. I sort of dig that kind of thinking things through.
It's a fun time.
And doing those kind of things.
Yeah.
Abzi, speaking of fun times, a bunch of games got updated.
A lot, yeah. Actually, this week's been pretty busy. But last week I told you there was a Dying Light 2 update. I tried it and it's pretty good, honestly. The combat feels a lot less janky, if that makes sense. It just feels more fluid. You can cut limbs now that you can like specify, like, okay, I want to cut this dude's arm. You can cut that stuff. The corpse stuff works well. Like if you really wanted to, after killing a guy, you could hack his body up and stuff. That's your thing, you know?
Certified by 9 out of 10 murderers out there.
So if that's your thing,
like the most important co-op features right off the bat. Yeah.
Exactly. Blood splatters. Co-op has way less bugs. Visual bugs are less. You know, it's just better now. Elden Ring got a big update. It got an NPC, a new NPC, a couple quests, like quest sections, so continuation of quests.
That's great.
The biggest thing is probably marking the NPCs you meet on your map, which helps a lot. So you know they are. You remember where they are. So that was a really good help. A bunch of bug fixes, a bunch of balancing stuff. You know, the two OP items aren't that OP anymore. So they did a bunch of that. I still get stuttering though. So Godfall got an update. Moving on. Lost Judgment, the Cato Files, March 28. The Cato Files is a DLC where you play as Cato from Lost Judgment. World War Z Aftermath got an update. Remember World War Z, Kerrig? Mm-hmm. So it's getting free weapons and gear. It's a free update. It's getting quality of life improvements and a first person mode toggle button. So you can switch between first person, third person freely. Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak got the release date got announced. It's June 30. They showed a lot of things. There's a new sanctuary area, new whole zone, new monsters, new combat mechanics, and reskins of old monsters that do new things. So excited for that. June 30. Inscription. I don't know if you guys have played Inscription. Have any of you guys played Inscription?
Fuck yeah. Yep.
A little bit.
It's an awesome game. Awesome game. This update, I'm going to be vague because I feel like I would spoil it if I talk about this update. So the game is very unique. It changes throughout the game. I'm going to leave it at that. It changes. But this update called Casey's Mod is basically like a mini expansion. It's free, but it lets you play the first part of the game endlessly. It makes it into its own roguelike, which is pretty cool. And it's free. Yeah, it's really cool. And then Scum, which is a early access game akin to DayZ, got a new update called Wings of Fury. And it just added airplanes and parachuting, which is apparently really buggy. It added outposts with working NPC traders, bug fixes, and a bunch of quality of life additions. And then we got Elder Scrolls Online, Ascending Tide. It's like a DLC game pack. I think the first part of that came out. I didn't really understand because it was very, very weird when I looked at it. I was trying to research it. It looks like it's an expansion made up of three or four DLCs, and the first one came out, which adds like a new content, basically a new story or whatever.
I mean, I did look into this one, but how it usually works for Elder Scrolls Online is working up to a new expansion, they release like mini story episodes that lead over to the next expansion.
Narratively?
It's something like that, yeah.
Oh.
Was that it, Abzi?
Yep, that was it.
That was actually a lot.
Yeah.
Elden Ring's patch was needed.
Yes.
Yeah. Dude. Remember all the vendors that look exactly the same but sell different shit everywhere?
Yeah.
When I would need to find the vendor that specifically sold fire arrows, I'd be like, okay, well, fuck. Because there are like 10 of them.
Well, the smart thing to do is to just kill all of them, get their bell bearings to the person in the round table, and just have access to everything from there. But they're sad, you know. Once you start hitting them, they make you feel bad about it.
I did see somebody else mentioning that, and I was just like, that's a unique way of handling the problem.
Because, dude, when you speak to them, they will say their name like on the first sentence, and if you accidentally skip it or, you know, forget it, you will never learn their name again. Sometimes, like, that person introduced themselves, you can't get that line again ever.
You can't know.
The good thing is you can't know who he was.
The good thing is with this update, you see their names on the map, so
this was needed. Exactly.
It reminds me though of like whenever you have a discussion with somebody and they're like, "Hi, I'm Martha," and if you and that's it,
like, long time no see. It's like, "Hey,
you," and then or you're continuing to talk to them after they said that, and you're like, "Well, what about you over there? What do you think?" And you're like, and it doesn't happen very often, but especially in those discussions when you first meet somebody, you have to really like one of the things they always tell you when you're meeting people is to say if they say their name's Brian, go, "Hi, Brian." And you sound like an idiot, but your brain remembers that, you know, twice as much.
I do that now.
Yeah. You're in a meet and greet kind of situation, a lifestyle, where you're meeting people all the time. It can be rough.
It's funny. They added quests for a guy I already killed because he was stealing my runes. I was like,
stealing them?
Yeah. There's a dude in the castle that you meet. And if you pay attention, every time you die and you go back to retrieve your runes, you get a little bit less. And that's because that guy has been stealing them this whole time.
How did you notice that?
I didn't notice
that's
that.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Because,
that guy would die.
He locks you in a room as well. You get trapped in a room and he was fucking with you.
We had a great time with Abzi streaming Elden Ring, and he was doing this boss and he had like 200,000 fucking runes. And we were yakking with him, and he was fighting. He died, and then he goes back, and right before he dies again, he realizes, oh, I didn't pick up the runes, and he dies. And it's like, I think I just lost 200,000 runes.
God, like, I hate walking into a boss fight with the runes.
Oh, it's like, I know.
I hate worrying about picking it up every single time.
That's why I was always looking for a teleporter nearby. What were you going to say,
Silver? That is actually one element that annoyed me a bit, because they made it in Sekiro so that you automatically picked up your souls when your lost souls, if you ran over them, you didn't have to hit the button to pick them up.
But
in Elden Ring, they went back to you hitting the button. And because the button is context sensitive, so it does multiple things, it does more than just pick up the souls, it can get really, really annoying. So I would actually have appreciated it significantly if they had retained the system from Sekiro and just made it so that you still have to go pick up your souls, because there's still a lot of stress to your souls being there, especially if they're like at the other end of like a boss arena and you have to pass the boss to get there. There can still be pressure to that, but I would have appreciated if you didn't have to hit the button to pick them up.
And what's worse is there is no way to get your souls out of a boss arena. Okay, there is one workaround. But there's no homeward bone for you to teleport out of the boss. The only thing is a mixed physique thing that allows you that if you die within a small time, you retain your souls.
Wait, that's so a mixed physique? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I thought it was just the sacrificial branch.
So you go into
branch.
The boss arena, drink the juice, grab the souls, kill yourself quickly before it wears off, and then you have, but it's very convoluted.
There is another workaround. If you go into the boss arena, pick up your souls, and then quit the game.
Okay.
That will put you outside of the boss arena as well.
Okay.
I was going to say, when I was reviewing it, one of the things, you know, you forget about picking up the souls, you try to learn, figure out, like, I didn't have any of this. So it's like, there were multiple times where I lost souls, didn't know. And then they'd be like, use a magic witch's bone finger to call your friend, and your friend, when they come, their main reason for coming to you is this and that. And you're just like, what does that mean? And now you can't explore more because they, you know, they come in, they kill a boss, and then it's like they popped out. There's some oddities there in how they handled that. And there's just, but they always are, man. They always are. Quitting the game is a workaround. It is. I definitely did quit the game as well a couple times, or crashed it once and it worked. It's got some kind of save game. Somebody's going to figure out if there's not already a mod, which I wouldn't be surprised if there was already a mod, you know, that somebody
can save
it. That's
weird. When I was playing my strength guy, my game has never crashed, but it has crashed twice already playing my mage guy. So maybe it has something to do with spells. I have no idea.
Does it crash during a specific spell?
Nope. Just randomly.
Gotcha. Johnny, do we have any questions in the question thread?
Let me look it up. Okay. This one from Migux. Sup, guys. My question is, what was the last time that tech in games clicked for you? I mean, in a way that had you like, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for. For me, it was, it has to be Watch Dogs Legion. The game surely wasn't the best, but the tech behind the NPCs made the game worth it to me.
I read that too.
What tech though? What was going, the balls getting bigger on the horses?
Oh yeah, I love that tech. It's amazing. Tech. I would say a couple. There was one where they replaced a bunch of objects together with one texture or something. Forgot what it was, but it made it look run very well on the PS4. Well, not run very well, just look very good on the PS4. Which was incredible tech, where you would like be standing high up in a mountain, and it's kind of like an LOD thing, and just the interactivity with the like random NPCs and stuff, interactivity with the world, how you have to, because I always, for some reason, it was weird when I was a kid, I always dreamt of games in the future where you loot things, your character actually goes down and picks them up. That was always a thing for some reason, where it's like, imagine a game did all that, where you actually saw the character pick everything up, and they did that. So I was like, damn.
For me, I would agree on Legion. I liked Legion more because of the tech they were trying to do and just adjust. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but the idea of what they're doing and the idea of what you can do in the future when things, you know, AI gets better at mimicking mimicking voices.
Yeah.
That's incredible to me. That would be, some people are saying the Nemesis system, which I'm sure you're going to hear a lot.
Right. You know what I thought of?
Go for it.
The Judgment game, didn't they have like some cool tech for the lip syncing for English, I believe, where it was like automatic synced?
Was it
like
that game?
By an algorithm or something.
There is a game, because on the PS5, wasn't it on the PS5 you could see real-time syncing, and on PS4 you couldn't?
No, that was...
Or was that Horizon?
The other one.
The other one? Like a Dragon?
No. The other Japanese...
Last Judgment? Game.
No. Fuck it. On the island?
Oh, a Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, thank you.
Ah, you're right. Yeah, Ghost of Tsushima did do that, yeah. Where they said on that one version you can see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gotta fly in here.
But they got pretty close with Judgment to in English. Like it worked very well what they did.
Red or Silver, do you guys have any tech?
Well, I mean, mine would also be lip syncing, but I was thinking of L.A. Noire. Like that really stuck with me.
Yeah. That was awesome back in the day.
The face capture that they did back then.
And now we look at it and we're like, it's pretty rough.
Yeah,
when it looks
pretty scary. But
I look at Horizon Forbidden West, and it seems to me that every motherfucker out there has been mocapped, just like the detail of even the secondary characters when they speak and stuff.
That's good, because the first one had a lot of issues with that.
Yeah, the first one had bad problems. Silver, are there any for you?
Yeah, there are lots. Just to name one of the really big ones, like Total War. When they made the switch from medieval to 3D with Rome, like the tradition, the switch to
that, to
having these massive armies of individual models, some of them looked like different and stuff. Yeah. Like there was variation even within like the regiments and stuff. And then particularly, I mean, a significant reason why it's still one of my favorite Total Wars, like Napoleon, is just on a technical level, absolutely amazing. I mean, the way that game is like nearly 10 years old now, and it still looks absolutely incredible with like this fog of gun smoke. Once you've had like a lingering battle of these line infantry just pouring musket fire into each other, and the gun smoke is just hanging over the entire field like this fog with the artillery firing and everything. It's just absolutely amazing on a technical level that I think a lot of people sort of take for granted. That continues to impress me. And also, I mean, it's still impressive with Warhammer, particularly as it also fuses it with magic and everything else.
We're being asked this question. We've been asked multiple times, so I'm just going to answer it real quick. Kaneev says, do you guys still play emulators, given that you're so busy playing new releases? I think Reg is the only one who revisits emulators all the time. Oh, okay.
Well,
go ahead if you do.
I mean, I don't really revisit them. It's for current games, usually.
Yeah, I did that with... because I bought Metroid Dread on the Switch.
Yeah.
And it was 30 FPS or whatever. So I got the emulator on PC and it was running really, really well. So I used Yuzu and then I played some games on there that I already own.
I just don't really mess with, I mean, if I, time isn't stopping me, I just don't really mess with older games. Like when you start getting out of this last gen, I have a harder time getting into them. They're a little too janky. Like I saw somebody remake, I don't know if you guys saw this, but somebody said, here's what God Ram or whatever his name, Godric, would look like on the PS1.
Oh, it looked like on a PS1.
And it was you know, back then we were like, it's real. It looks real. It's perfect.
PS1
Instead, he was like, oh, you know, like fake shading where little crosses and stuff. RoboChief says, for me, it'd be Zero Dawn and how enemies are affected. Seeing the behaviors of machines change when they lost body parts. Yeah, that game, I mean, Horizon definitely has some awesome stuff when it comes to the creatures and how they act, but.
It does.
What else we got, Johnny?
So this question actually for Johnny and Reg from Ken Grumpet. Would either of you ever consider working in game design development, or would you rather not have gaming become work? Reg,
yes.
Go first. And Abzi can answer because he's also
developer. True that. I think not, because you hear a lot of crunch time, etc. So it doesn't sound like a very welcoming industry when you don't want to work overtime, which I don't.
Yeah, you definitely don't. I'm not saying you don't work your hours. I'm just saying
I work my hours. You wouldn't want to do exactly as much as I agreed to, and I'm not doing more than that.
What about Johnny or Abzi?
I have a pretty strong stance, like principle of separating work and my projects, my drive elsewhere. And for me to have games and then games development as a job, that would kind of go against that. So I'd like to clearly delineate between.
Yeah, working in a kitchen made me hate cooking. Jesus Christ.
There you go. I don't want to know how the burger is
made. I loved cooking.
I just want to enjoy it. Yeah.
So weird, because I don't know, man. Like, it doesn't stop. I mean, I don't do a bunch of software development, but whenever I'm messing around with stuff in games, it doesn't really, I just get more.
It's you're in it. Your work is playing games.
Yeah. And I don't.
Or, making missions in Arma, right?
That's how I started the channel, was missions in Arma. So I don't know if I that's one thing I do like to dive in until I'm so underwater that. So I don't know. Yeah. The other stuff, Reg is right though. Like, all, I will tell you this, man, if I was making games, because it's more than one person, you can bet your ass I would not have a Twitter account. No way. I allow feedback? So if I was a line texture artist or whatever, or a writer on a video game, I wouldn't tell anybody that's what I was doing, because to see the feedback that everybody gets because of somebody high up doing something stupid, like the Bobby Kotick, people are like, shut down Activision. I'm like, dude, what? There's like a billion people working there who probably love their jobs, who probably have never done anything like what you're talking about. We don't know what's happened. It's like, you don't want all those guys to just lose their job. So I would probably not, because I'd lose my job, because I'm really angry. So I'd be on Twitter going, hey, why don't you, I'd be putting textures hidden in games of pictures of their avatars, having sex.
Well, talk about that mechanic?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about that.
Let's go. It doesn't fit for me.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a quick follow-up, Carrick, on this? For you, just quick follow-up, right? Because do you have this thing where if you learn a lot about something, let's say it could be like cinematography as an example, and then you watch a movie, you are then utterly distracted by all the techniques they're using to make the shot and get the lighting correctly and stuff like I have a little bit of that.
You do get it in music, like, I assume.
With music, for example, I listen to a song. I can't just chill and listen necessarily. I enjoy it a lot, but at a different level. I'm very actively my brain can't help but be like, oh, they're using this scale. They're doing this deliberate thing.
I do that too. I listen to
percussion. And I can't really shut it off.
See, I do that, but I get excited if it's good and I don't care if it's bad. I think especially in martial arts, they'll tell you there's your four stages of doing it wrong and not knowing, doing it wrong, and then knowing, doing it right, knowing, and then instinct. And so what I do is I'm instinctually tell myself, if this music is good, I love it. And if it's bad, I usually won't go, oh, it's because of the drums or what, I might think that, but it goes away real quick. So
listen to music, I notice subtleties or how they mix this part or the compressor or they panned it to the right. Oh, that's, but I enjoy, it gives me goosebumps when I notice these things. So I just sit and enjoy it.
When I put that Unleash the Archers song in, I don't like super hard. I'm not even a fan of that. But what I liked about that was her voice. And then there's a guitar solo that is very unique. But I'm not usually picking apart. One part of the song, the female singer steps away and the male singer comes on, and it's that, Grognard! And I don't go, oh, I hate him. I just am waiting for the next, positive bit. I ignore it. I think a lot of musicians do it. Martial arts, I don't do it either. But that's because I teach kids. I think if you have difficulty teaching, you might be that way. because I do know some of my friends are really good at something, and I'll be like, can you show me how? And they try, and they're terrible. I have one friend who can't teach.
Right.
His frustration level is 9 already, but he wants to teach. And you'd be like, dude, you got to step this off, because this is rough. Like, the way you're talking is rough. You probably shouldn't, you know, talk like
that.
Not
my tempo.
yeah. Or just, and well, it's not even that. It's that he gets stressful. And then it's, and you can tell when you ask a question, you get,
like, you project the energy.
Especially, or whatever. You're just, yeah, you know. Right. Now, if he had told me 50 times, then I would be, yeah. And I think with students, like when you're doing martial arts, you'll get a kid, or my wife takes Taekwondo, and I'll see her do moves, and I'll be like, whatever. And I'll just walk off. I'll be like, you know, you're at a different, like, that's a different thing. If I was teaching you, we'd talk about different things, but I can ignore it. It'd be pretty rough if you couldn't. I think musicians, especially the ones who are talented, who do everything, like Eliza Chuck, Austin Wintory, Justin Bell, who I just found out, he sings the sea chanties in Pillars 2. When you're on the boats. And he's like, this is my first time singing or something. I just saw this Twitter and I was like, wait, what? Those kind of people, I think it would be difficult because you do everything and that's just too much. Like, there, you would be able to pick out too many problems. For me, I like electronic music, so I sort of know that. It would be tough to do anything else. It's fun as a bass player to, this is Plague Souls, and Plague's in a band. He says, it's fun as a bass player to actively listen to different play styles and techniques and genres I don't usually listen to. I don't know if you guys saw this interview, but it was with Gene Simmons. And he said something along the lines of, hey, if you finger your bass, not with a pick, he said, if you finger your bass, your band isn't telling you, they can't hear you on stage. You have to use a pick. And I was like, what? Because I didn't know that
that's
was a thing.
How it, works.
It is how it works for their band and their kind of music. Mm-hmm. And everybody was agreeing with him. They were like, that's absolutely correct. And it's funny because right after listening to that, I listened to Hail to the King from Avenged Sevenfold played acoustically.
Avenged Sevenfold.
And that guy had to fucking pick so hard to be heard. It was ridiculous. I mean, he was like, you could tell. And people said that is an insanely hard song. I mean, the first posts on that video were like, I can't believe he was able to like play that with his fingers because it is so difficult to really get a high sound with that kind of guitar. Now he's lead. I get that. But I'm just saying, obviously people do pick apart that. I think
like the most impressed I am is when there's a lot going on and they use unconditional unconventional ways to have everything sit in its own kind of, you know, frequency or its own kind of a spot in the sound stage, you know what I mean? And when it all connects together, it just what interests me the most is how they mastered or mixed the music.
Right, because the issue of not hearing the bass is one where your frequencies are kind of overcharged.
Clashing,
and that's
right?
why
right.
you need the attack
need to get
of the pick.
Get it in there.
Yeah.
So that you hear the high frequencies as opposed to only the low.
Yeah. It was just cool to hear a musician talk about something I'd never heard of. And then once he said it and I started reading it, I was like, oh, that must be annoying to be the lead singer and thinking that. Because unlike Hetfield from Metallica, who most people consider one of the best, like I didn't realize he's considered like as a pick guitar player is considered one of the best.
Yeah.
I mean, like, people who don't like Metallica were like, no, that guy's insane.
He kind of invented the downstroke only technique. So he only plays like downstrokes.
To get as much force or something? Or is it
attack. So he has insane attack.
And that bent his play style. Your back would be so bad.
But he's a machine.
He plays
fast.
Mm-hmm. Got plus 25 to attack.
Dude, he's all bent over. I was watching them do a song a couple of weeks ago on, you know, in a YouTube video. And I was like, his back has to hurt so far. But then you see a lot of guitarists doing that. You see new ones now I see who have but you see that crab body. And they're like all hunched over.
They're in there. They're like,
just like, dude, your neck must just be ruined. Do you guys get that way? Go ahead. Go ahead, Silver.
Just uh, it, it, it's the same with literature, where really one of the best things you can do as a writer, if you want to grow, is just read as many different writing styles as possible and adopt. Like, oh, I can use syntax in this way. Oh, I can use grammar in this way. Oh, Cormac McCarthy really uses commas. Like, he just uses periods. Like,
yeah, true.
That's a stylistic choice he makes. Like, there are all these different choices I can make for how I want to write and how I want to present what I'm writing. And the more you read yourself, the more you're going to pick that up and learn that stuff.
Reg, Johnny, do you guys have to teach somebody your job? You don't, right? Because they have to have... Yes, you do.
No. We have juniors as well that have to be taught how to... Well, sometimes even how to program.
Well, that's sort of what I'm getting at. But do you guys... Are you guys purposely not on that team of teachers? Or
no, I usually am.
Oh. You don't seem like you'd be... incredibly forgiving teacher to me. I don't know why.
I have the highest patience pretty much.
You do? You do?
Yeah.
I would think Reg would. What do you mean?
No, dude, because he's got no patience for 80% of what's going on in gaming. So, like, I would, and he's like, fuck it, I'm not playing this game because this button doesn't do what I want. Of course, that's because he can buy a lot of games. But for whatever reason, I've attributed that to your software. So you have to teach. Yeah. Low level stuff. Ah, interesting. I never knew that. Johnny, you were saying you also have to teach?
Yeah, in my job, there's an expectation for someone at a higher level that you have to propagate your knowledge to new people joining as well. So there's like internal courses on different technologies or also just internal stuff that you have to do.
You ever had that POS worker, though, that you know somehow they got hired and they just don't know shit at their level?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have that, but I've had that
a couple times. Not as a worker, but as a technical contact with a customer of ours.
Oh, like and they're running things, but you're... Yeah.
And he's having an argument of why we should implement it that way. You're like,
you're like, dude, I don't know how you got this job, man, but yeah. Well, I've had that before, or like we used to have a job where they believed everybody's, you know, say was worth it. And I was like, that's absolutely incorrect. You don't ask a baker to make a rowboat. Like, what the fuck are we doing? And we would have that where you'd be like, okay, everybody has a say. And I'd be like, fuck, they do. I'd be like, we're done. Like, they do not have a say at all. Cause you can spend hours listening to people just blather. Well, at my old job, we did. And you're like, that's your old job. It's not the same fucking thing. I guess at work, maybe I don't have the best training. Maybe I shouldn't be a teacher at work. I don't know. I'm glad I'm not teaching anymore. But yeah, this is interesting stuff. Do we have any other questions on there?
I believe we have one more question from Type Font. There are quite a few game categories out there: FPS, RPG, JRPG, Sims, etc. What are the types that you think will drive gaming forward in the next few years?
What is the drive gaming the next few years?
The genres.
What the
genre?
Yeah.
Of games.
I think simulators are certainly part of it, like you see with the flight simulator, just because of the tech involved in a lot of those. So I think they're definitely going to be an important driver. And yeah, they have been historically. So.
Yes. Yeah. But don't you think, Silver, like simulators? It kind of feels like they're at a point where they're already like really good, right? Like in terms, if you look up, I don't know, some really good car simulator or something, like it doesn't get much closer than that. Doesn't it feel like it's diminishing returns now?
I feel like I thought that's like 20 years ago.
Yeah, same.
We did.
maybe I'm being like the science people back in.
I've been happy with video graphics pretty much since 2013. So
yes, I mean. Yeah.
So we got somebody who answered us on Twitter or on Reddit. Thank you guys for joining Reddit ACG Vids. He says, I can't read his name because it's dirty, but he says a lot of misinformation from you guys spread about Hogwarts Legacy. You guys couldn't pronounce the name of the title. Hogwarts Legacy. Is that not what it is? Okay.
Hogwarts? Hogwarts.
I don't know. Disappointed the discussion devolved into speculation when we have so much information from the state of play. The only thing we should be worried about is performance that needs to be top priority. If that's a non-issue, I will see you at the Game Awards. Okay.
What are you talking
about? So I said, information, what information? And he said, I'm not going to give you a laundry list. I was just surprised. My go-to guys for review had to second guess who was actually developing the game, which I thought we knew right away. But and if you actually look into it, you'll see a lot of sister studios from WB are helping out. So far as I know, we never spoke about any other companies that were. So I don't know what that's. I guess it's my fault because I'm a thirsty Harry Potter fan. And this podcast style just had a lot of people throwing out opinions when it's obvious the only thing they've seen is this trailer. I want to be clear. I thought we were clear that it is the only thing we've seen.
Is he a Hogwarts fan or is he a PlayStation fan or is he both?
He did say so. But I just want to be clear that if anybody was watching that, that is actually what happened. We did. That's why I asked, did you watch the trailer?
That was the context.
I don't have a developer on the channel. But I just wanted to say that, like, that was a reaction to that. But I don't really have. I mean, at least everything there, I didn't see.
Well, I mean, they talked about a lot of stuff. We acknowledged those things and we thought about, like, other stuff about how they would implement it. Why is that, like, such a hard thing to grasp?
Well, what I've noticed in podcasts, especially lately, and because Reg and I talked about this with GTA Trilogy, which did come up, which, by the way, turned out we were right, which is weird when you think about it. But long story short, people were like, okay, you know, this was wrong. And I said, okay, you know what, guys, behind the scenes, I was like, we should probably make sure that if we can to look up what we can, which people should have noticed for the last three podcasts. That's exactly what we've been doing. But when you get kind of stuff like that, it's difficult because whenever anybody says they're not going to tell you what you got wrong, but you got everything wrong. I got mint on my lip. Then it's difficult to fix anything because, like, right now it's just like, you did something wrong. What? We just talked about bad teachers. You did something wrong. What? Well, I'm not telling you.
Right.
All right. So, but anyway, I do read those Reddits. They are important, but if you really do have to listen to us when we talk about where we are on something, especially this, which is where we just saw the trailer. And in fact, not all of us saw it.
Yeah. And if people tell us there's a lot of, like, cool info, Plague we Souls, can, like, look it up for the next one or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. And Plague Souls and Big Mac have been really good whenever anything's, feel free to correct when, but we have to know what needs to be corrected because we are just a bunch of guys talking about our opinions. And since I saw no complaints when we were talking, it was weird to see that in Reddit, but that's fine. It happens. That's what Reddit is.
It's just unbridled
fear. To them, it does.
For someone who is, like, probably super into the game and probably absorbs every bit of information that's out there, it's probably super clear.
I would also probably say somebody who is
I'm personally not interested and only saw a part of the trailer.
That's what I was going to say. I think there's that, but also... I want to add that it's also the fact that I do have a tendency to pick games and not believe what they're showing us. So somebody can say, they for sure said this is in the game. And I'm like, I don't know. Anyway, sorry, Silver. Go ahead.
No, just that also, like, the framing of, the only thing to be concerned about with this game is potential performance. Like, really?
Yeah.
The only thing? Like,
I'm right there with them on wanting it to be good.
At that point, you're showing your cards, right?
Yeah. Like, Harry Potter in particular has just been this thing. I've been quite... or disappointed, but quite surprised by how thirsty they are.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think it's been. I mean, I think we saw the same thing with Elden Ring to a degree of people, like, prejudging that game as being, like the greatest game of all time.
Cyberpunk, I ran into that. I ran into a lot of people.
Same thing as Cyberpunk.
Straight up telling me I lied in my review.
Yeah.
They were like, "You're a liar. This game's amazing." And then, admittedly, I think it's the most commented on video because people returned to say sorry. It was hilarious.
Like Valhalla as well, right?
Yeah, Valhalla was a big one. Valhalla was funny because people were playing the first, like, 6 hours and were like, "This is amazing." And then you get, like, 12 hours into the game and they're like, "Oh my God, now I see." And I'm like, that's the difference. I've played it and you haven't. Like, I've played more of it. And it some things are front loaded. And some things, like Red Dead's prequel, didn't work for me, or that prologue didn't work for me. Yeah. So when I say I hated it, you know, that'll give, you know, that's a little bit different than everybody else. But not dissing on that person, they, you know, that's what they were saying. I actually like that kind of stuff. If we can fix things, hold us to account.
Yeah, we definitely need to
because I've had it a couple times where we've said something and then even I've looked and been like, oh shoot. And you do want to definitely be more accurate, especially when we're talking about like people losing their jobs. Did you guys see the big thing about Ori and the Blind Forest developer? There's a lot of hubbub about no one suing. It was just, this isn't the greatest place to work, which I think we all know it's no place is. I think we're now getting to the point to where if you're not rosy and perfect, somebody's going to say it's a bad place to work. Those guys, some of the stuff I saw was really bad though. But I mean, I think we're getting to that point as well where people are becoming
really
happy.
The same thing happened with Elden Ring lately or like a couple of days ago, I think. Where I also had that one of the articles was, well, it's they had to crunch all the time and it's a terrible place to work.
Oh, so, I saw that. You're right. Yeah, you're right. Them. It's difficult crunch. You guys don't have it because you guys don't have to do it, right? You can just walk away for the most part in your jobs, right?
Well, for especially it's set up that way that our project managers do handle that. So if something's getting delayed, for example, we don't just put in more man hours, but they explain to the customers that it's just not getting ready at that date.
Right.
We have to postpone.
Yeah, I think that that's actually super important also. It's unfortunate, but games can't delay.
Or we have to remove features. That's also an alternative if the launch date is hard locked.
Right.
Mm. That, to me, seems like, it, especially because we used to deal with a lot of customers, like saying this feature won't be available is so rough versus saying it may not work perfect. I still remember there were times where we were like calling up clients and being like, okay, we can put it in there. But these are the caveats, because if you like for us, when we were saying it's not going to be in there, they'd be like, you didn't meet the contract. We're not paying you. But I think every place does their contracts differently. That's one thing I don't ever want to do again. It's contract writing and fulfilling of contracts. It was terrible. Like that shit sucks. You don't ever want to be. It's good to be a line worker, right? You're just like, I'm coming in, I'm leaving. Somebody's like, you want to be a manager? And you're like, nuh-uh.
Nuh-uh.
You're like, as long as I can get to a point where I'm getting paid good and don't have to answer for, like, the product, I'm fine. But when you start answering for the product, it's rough. What else do we got? Anything before we
wrap this up? Do we have time for a quick thought experiment?
I do.
That I have for you.
If these guys need to go, you can feel free to go, but I do.
Plop everyone.
If you could
like my
travel...
podcast yesterday or last Friday when I just hung up on everybody. Sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was amazing. Would you rather travel to the past 200 years or to the future 200 years? And it's a one-way ticket. You have to live the rest of your days out
future.
Wherever you land. Absy goes future.
Easily, yeah.
What if it's all fucked? You arrive and it's like people have killed each other.
Fuck it, dude. I live there. I don't want to go back 200 years. I don't want to go back to the 1800s.
But wouldn't you be like a savant if you?
Here's what I'm thinking, dude.
Oh, true.
So,
but can you live that long?
1822. So
I want to play video games.
1801. Some stuff happened. 1901. 1822. I don't know of much that was going on right there. Like, it would probably be pretty rough because most likely. You know, you get a cut on your leg and you're dying of sepsis.
Oh, dude, yeah.
So I'm trying to think, do I know how to make penicillin? Like, what exactly? I would probably go in the past because, yeah, I could be a Bond villain back then. I mean,
so, you know, that's my worry because I don't know if I can prove anything. I don't know if I can make a pencil, dude. I go to the past and I talk about a telephone and like... I'm just going to be a madman. I'm just going to
watch a lot of YouTube.
In a bin.
Watch a lot of YouTube video tutorials.
Mm.
Just come back with that knowledge. Make the internet.
I guess that's
the
question. If you were asked and you could go in a week, I would for sure say the past because I would be right.
Okay.
I would like be memorizing particular things from that exact time period. If not, I'd probably go to the future. But here's the thing, guys. You'd be imagine this right now. 5 years ago, and you got moved to today's podcast, you would be in culture shock. It would be the worst time jet lag ever. Entire game companies are gone. Entire major companies are gone. War in Ukraine. You get my drift? We're talking 200 now. People have chips embedded in their eyeballs. You wouldn't. You can bet your ass nobody's going to be on a cell phone. That's going to be gone quick already, whether it's just sunglasses first and then an ear. You know, people are already using the Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Hey, let me know when they're talking, and you can already see that right now. This shit will be in, you know, on your ear bone or your jawbone. Imagine 200 years. Like, sex probably won't be the same. You know, they'd just be
true.
Like, that was good.
Probably very thanks. Large bushes down there.
They return to right? the 70s penthouse
very
bush.
Big bush.
But 200 situation. Years, like, you'd be really, it'd be fun. But what if it's terrible, too? What if you show up in a post-apocalyptic wasteland?
And that's what, I mean,
you would have to carry. Sorry, go on.
With the future, it's uncertain whether it would be terrible. With the past, it's certain that it would be terrible.
Yeah, and I think I can prepare for the certainty, you know?
You know, here's what I'm thinking. If you go to the past, you're the hard carry of the team because you have all the knowledge. So, you know, if you think you can get shit done...
But the question is if you would be able to translate that knowledge into anything.
Right, right. But let's say if you think you can, you know, go to the past.
That's why I said I need a week. Because I would need, I would look at, so 1822, I would look at 1824, 25 to 30 and what inventions happened.
What are the problems they're facing?
Yeah. And then I'd be like, actually, when you show, of course, I'd look, we'd all look so weird. To everybody, yes. Well, maybe I wouldn't. I could probably put on like a Pope's robe or something.
But even then, I mean, you could go in and say, oh, I'm going to invent the steam machine or like steam machine or whatever, or electricity in 1822. And then you go in and you get shot by a highwayman. Like,
it's not
later.
Only that, but then somebody you know, takes your idea and steals it and murder back then. See, I was not, I'm not going to lie. I straight up thought, could I murder somebody in 1822 and get away with it? When the moment you asked this question,
I mean,
that was legitimate.
Weren't much of a thing
right.
back then.
And I was like, oh, I could do some shit. I could take out some people that maybe weren't. But then you'd change the future. You know, one of the thought processes that most scientists go on now is if you did find a way to travel in the past, this timeline continues as if you didn't. And a new timeline is if you did. So you wouldn't be screwing up the future. You would be making it in whatever way. You would be making the future from that point on as if you lived in it and all of those changes, and it wouldn't affect you. It would, it's its own separate thing. And if that's true, yeah, I'd go to 1822. Dude, man, but you got to watch out for the most generic of shit. Syphilis, gonorrhea. I'm speaking of sexual terms right now, but it's like, be like, let's hump for a sixpence, and then you
one
come
mistake
down
mistake and you're dead.
One mistake.
Like, there's no
and you're wearing like wool skin condoms because they weren't rubber at that time.
Yes.
They were like a lambskin.
Fish bladders.
And,
yeah.
And
war even more prolific. I mean, back then.
Oh, there were drafts,
like
right?
You're only like 7 years out of the Napoleonic War in Europe.
Can you imagine showing up and you're like, I'm going to take this world by storm. And they're like, you're drafted. And you're all, uh-oh. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, shit. This went bad.
Like, damn, you know, I mean, hearing also... about the Wild West, getting excited about it and stuff and just getting shot. And
showing up and being like, let's do boom.
You start twirling your guns. And shit. Yeah. Like Red Dead.
No. Remember when Back to the Future, when they went back to the time and he thought he was dressing up like Clint Eastwood, like, and he has the poncho and everything, and Michael J. Fox does, and he shows up and he just looks like a complete dork. That's exactly how we would be too.
Not to mention language as well.
I don't want to end up like Al Capone. Language, yeah, slang. You wouldn't make any sense to anybody, would you? Like, I mean,
yeah, slang, dialect,
or at least
whatnot,
at least a good amount of it. That'll be it for us. I want to thank everybody for showing up. Been an awesome time. Thank you guys very much. Hopefully you have a good weekend. Johnny, do you have anything you're streaming?
Yes. Horizon Forbidden West tomorrow, 2 p.m. GMT.
6 a.m.
6 a.m.
Yes.
PST.
Yes, right? 6 a.m., I believe, yeah. Has anybody else got anything going on this weekend? Any amazing stuff? Board games? No? Me neither.
No.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Reg... Steam machines, currently, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up overall. I'm positively, pretty much surprised for first off how many games actually run on the thing with Linux without going to Windows, and how well most of them run. I was expecting worse, and so I'm positively surprised. even stuff like Pathfinder, for example, is playable on there, which is like, yeah.
That's nuts, because Pathfinder is a pretty heavy game.
Yeah.
A lot of shit going on. So there you go. That's our so far Steam review from, or Steam Deck review from Reg. Thank you, everybody, for showing up. You all rock. I appreciate it. Thanks for the super chats. Peace out.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That, and then...